KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
And comprehensively failed. The good news is that he is sending out Hallmark Valentine's Day cards on his Twitter. He hopes that this will help recast him in a new light for the American public. So here is the President of the United States today on Twitter. Here's what he said. And I think we need a little bit of romantic music for this. Here we go.
1 year ago, he started to write an American story of hope, not fear, of unity, not division, of light, not darkness. An American story of decency and dignity, of love and healing, of greatness and of goodness. May this be the story that continues to guide us for the end of time.
Oh, romantic. Romantic stuff from the President of the United States. Actually, 1 year ago, you had a 54 to 56% approval rating, and now you are in the low 30s, according to a multiplicity of polls. There's a poll out today that is the most important poll, which is how many people actually wish to see Joe Biden run for re-election in 2024? The answer, 28% of Americans are like, I would love to see that guy run for re-election. 28% of Americans, that is Joe Biden and his immediate family and Hunter Biden's illegitimate child. Those are the people who want Joe Biden to run for re-election, and I don't even know if Hunter Biden's illegitimate child feels that way. Right now, according to the Associated Press, more Americans disapprove than approve of how Biden is handling his job as president, 56% to 43%. As of now, just 28% of Americans say they want Joe Biden to run for re-election in 2024, including only 48% of Democrats, less than half of Democrats, want the incumbent Democratic president who just won a supposed landslide victory over Donald Trump to run for re-election. You know how bad that is? Those numbers are abysmal. In July, 59% of Americans said they approved of Biden's job performance. That is a 16-point drop. His approval rating dipped to 50% by late September because of Afghanistan, and then it just kept on dropping. I mean, the numbers look like the guy at the end of Dr. Strangelove riding the bomb into the ground. That's what the trajectory of these numbers look like. His approval rating among Democrats went from 97% at the beginning of his tenure to 76% today. Okay, he has lost 21% among Democrats, which is insane. He went from 61% among independents to 43%. Among independents. He went from 23% among Republicans to 9% among Republicans. I mean, these are terrible, terrible numbers. And as for Joe Biden's contention in his Hallmark Valentine's Day card that he's
bringing unity, battle is over.
Only 16% of Americans think Biden's presidency has made the country more united. 43% think it's more divided. Well, ironically, he has united the country against him. Everybody thinks that he sucks at this. When 84% of Americans agree that Joe Biden's presidency has not made the country more united, that's a pretty solid level of agreement, actually. Only 28% of Americans say they have a great deal of confidence in Biden to effectively manage the White House. That is down from 44% who said that 1 year ago. Some 33% said that they have some confidence. 38% said, no confidence at all. And his numbers within demographics, key demographic groups, just terrible. According to a brand new NBC poll, they say 44% is his approval rating among registered voters. That sounds high to me, but okay. Here is the problem. Here are his numbers among various demographic groups. Okay, he is at 36% with independents. He's at 64% with black voters. To be down to 64% approval rating among black voters is insane. That is down 19% from April. Among young voters, 18 to 34, right? This is the demographic that is going to change the future. They're all going to love Joe Biden. 18 to 34 voters, only 40% of them say they like Joe Biden. 40%. Among Hispanics, the number is 48%, so a minority of Hispanics like Joe Biden. Even among women, which is the best demographic group for Joe Biden, or one of the best, he's only at 51%. These numbers are viciously brutal. They're just terrible. Now, I assume that what Joe Biden is doing now is he's trying to shore up the black support. He's trying to shore up the female support and the young support. It ain't working. It just isn't. And right now, they are cruising for a record bruising come November. I think there's every opportunity for the Republicans to pick up about 40 seats in the House, leaving them with a 252-seat majority in the House of Representatives, which would be a historically large majority for the Republicans in the House of Representatives one election after Joe Biden swept through and took with him Congress as well as the Senate. And this is what Karl Rove is saying in the Wall Street Journal today. He says, the more Joe Biden pushed for transformational change while holding a razor-thin House margin and a 50-50 Senate, the more negative public opinion grew. The president's job approval fell from 56% approve to 36% disapprove at the start of his presidency to 41% approve, 53% disapprove, now in the Real Clear Politics average. This happened in part because he hasn't focused on problems that ordinary Americans face. Instead, he wanted a smorgasbord of new welfare benefits and Build Back Better, few of which would help voters worried that prices were growing at the grocery store and gas pump much faster than their paychecks. And here's the thing, Biden keeps doubling down. So in that horrifying press conference the other day, I think the worst press conference I've ever seen. In that press conference, where a barely sentient elderly gentleman babbled nonsensically while handing Ukraine to the Russians, in the middle of that, he was asked about rejiggering his presidency. What can he do in terms of comms? And his answer was that he was going to go talk with presidential historians. This was his problem in the first place. Apparently, he had a meeting early on in his administration with a guy named John Meacham. John Meacham is this presidential historian, the self-appointed conscience of the historian community, which he is not, but he has appointed himself thus. And he's the guy who told Joe Biden that he could be FDR or LBJ. And Joe Biden's solution is to go back to John Meacham. By the way, Meacham was supposedly one of the authors on that terrible speech that Biden just gave down in Georgia. That kind of put the capstone on his crappy presidency so far, where he called all of his opponents vicious racists and then tried to lecture reporters on how they didn't understand English for quoting him. So Joe Biden is in very, very, very serious trouble. And here's the thing. I think that serious political trouble is something that attends many presidents from time to time. The problem for Joe Biden is it has now become systemic. This is a systemic problem within the Democratic Party because the entire Democratic Party agenda is the problem. It is not how Joe Biden presents to the world. Joe Biden presents kind of the same way he always has, as a doofus. He doesn't present particularly as a nefarious force in America. He doesn't present as somebody who's innately vicious and cruel and mean. I think he has that edge, but a lot of people don't. The problem for Joe Biden is that his agenda is just unpopular, and Democrats have bought into the agenda. And what's worse, they've made a cardinal error here, and that is they've created a brand new interest group, and that brand new interest group is parents. This is the thing. The Republicans, for the first time since probably about 2004, are grasping that cultural issues matter to the American people. Trump got this on sort of an innate level. He knew where the energy was. He didn't talk about tax cuts and tariffs. Instead, he talked about the racial essentialism being pushed by the Democrats. He talked about crime. He talked about all of these sort of social issues that affected Americans on a day-to-day level. And he won because of that. Well, Republicans have picked up on this, and Democrats are just steering directly into the... Oh, I would say they were steering into the skid, except they shouldn't, right? They're actually steering away from the skid, and so now they're in a tailspin. We'll get to more of this in just a moment, but first a word from our partners at Noble Gold.
Now, the stock market's at a record high, again. Things are looking up. Houses are selling in a week. Interest rates are still crazy low. And to top it all off, the government printed $5 trillion in new money. You might have noticed that all of this doesn't add up. It's like those plates spinning on top of those sticks. When they stop, it all comes crashing down, right? You need to keep your cash safe, not crashing down. Using precious metals is a well-proven way to do this. In a gold or silver IRA 401k rollover, you even get tax breaks while you bomb-proof your money. To find out how you can do this, you need to talk to one of Noble Gold's representatives. They're patient and knowledgeable and can help you navigate the precious metals market. This month, Noble Gold is giving away a free America the Beautiful solid silver 5-ounce coin with any qualifying IRA that you start. Call 877-646-5347 now to find out more, or visit our website at noblegoldinvestments.com.
Investing involves risk. Past performance is no guarantee of future results.
Alrighty, coming up, the Democrats have violated a cardinal rule of politics. They've created a brand new, huge interest group aligned against them. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
Hi, my name's Nick Gardner. I have a show here on KCNR, Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every other Sunday. The name of my show is Poke the Hornet's Nest.
There's no mountain I can't climb. There's no tower too high. No plane that I can't learn how to fly. What do I gotta do to get through to you to show you there ain't nothing I can't take this chainsaw off?
I'm going to concentrate on local politics mainly, but we'll talk about national politics also. You'll get the view of the common citizen here in Redding, California. And remember, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Maybe it's a good time for a new perspective about what's been going on in our town, in our state, in our nation. I hope you tune in and hear the other side of the news.
Everybody, listen up! Required to qualify.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, the Democrats have now created a brand new interest group aligned against them, parents. Parents have never really been an interest group in American politics. In 2004, Republicans came kind of close over the issues of same-sex marriage and national security. Right? There were the security moms. But those issues, realistically speaking, were not, I think, as big as the Democrats have now made the parenting issue. Because Democrats have basically declared their allegiance to a progressive left that believes that your children do not belong to you. And so whenever Democrats now say that they are acting on behalf of the children, it sounds a lot like you're acting on behalf of my children against me. And my answer to that is no. You don't know my kids. You don't care about my kids. I don't think Nancy Pelosi gives a damn about my children. I know that that is pretty much all I think about 24 hours a day. And I'm the one up in the middle of the night trying to figure out how to make their lives better, not Nancy Pelosi. But when Democrats say they're trying to make your kids' life better, what they really mean is they are trying to service particular constituencies, and they are going to try to mold children in order to do so. So here's Nancy Pelosi now talking up her agenda with regard to the kids yesterday.
My whole mission in Congress is about the children, for the children. As you heard me say, they're in the arena. You have to be prepared to take a punch. You have to be prepared to throw a punch for the children. For the children.
Nothing says for the children quite like the Democratic agenda, which is kill babies before they're born. After they're born, tell them that they can be members of the opposite sex and teach them that racial essentialism is a key factor in American life. Nothing says for the children quite like that. Now, the reality is that for progressive left movements, the idea of perfecting humanity in pursuit of utopia has always been a part of the scheme. If you go all the way back to Rousseau, the idea of educating children in a particular fashion so as to achieve some sort of communal end, this has been a large part of every left-wing movement since the inception of left-wing movements. And philosophically speaking, it goes all the way back to Plato. I mean, if you actually read The Republic, Plato talks about taking kids away from their parents and then indoctrinating them in particular values so that they will be better citizens of the polis. So anybody who has utopian visions has to use children as malleable weapons in that fight. But in order to do that, in a traditional country that has institutions like parenting and church and local communities, in order to do that, you have to separate kids from their parents. And this is what you're seeing in the battle over education. So there was a clip that was floating around online yesterday from Melissa Harris Perry, who used to have a show on MSNBC. This is from about 2013, but it does sum up what so many progressives think of children. Now, ironically, the demographic group, politically speaking, least likely to have children of their own are progressives. The conservatives have lots and lots of kids. Progressives have very, very few children and a dog. But they think that they should be able to indoctrinate children because children are the collective's property. Children are how you mold the future. So here's a, again, this is from years ago, but it is indicative of a mindset that has now taken deep root inside the Democratic Party, if it didn't already have deep root. Here's Melissa Harris Perry, circa 2013.
We have never invested as much in public education as we should have because we've always had kind of a private notion of children. Your kid is yours and totally your responsibility. We haven't had a very collective notion of these are our children. So part of it is we have to break through our kind of private idea that kids belong to their parents or kids belong to their families and recognize that kids belong to whole communities. Once it's everybody's responsibility and not just the households, then we start making better investments.
Lean forward. Okay, so what the left says is that they want to help out children by providing them more resources. What they mean is that they would like to remove your ability to control how your child is educated and the values that you teach your kid. You're seeing this in Canada right now with this lying bill. I mean, they call it an anti-conversion therapy bill. It is not an anti-conversion therapy bill. It is an anti-reason, anti-religion bill in Canada that essentially suggests that if you are a parent who does not want to teach your kid that they can switch sex, or if you're a parent who wants to teach your kid about traditional sexual morality and the belief that, for example, heterosexual activity is more valuable community-wise and more valuable morally than homosexual activity, if you want to teach your kid that, this makes you a vicious, brutal bigot. And the government should either fine or remove your child, right? They should fine you or put you in jail for this sort of thing. I mean, that is law now in Canada. Okay, that is what the left would like. When it comes to sexual indoctrination of children, I mean, this obviously is happening in public schools in places like California, New Jersey, New York. This idea that you have to indoctrinate small children into the lies of gender theory so as to twist the brains of small kids and make them emissaries of your theory. That's the end goal right there, is to make the kids the actual weapons on your own behalf. It's not good for a kid to be gender confused, but it's good for the gender confused to gender confuse kids. Because if you can convince kids that they are naturally gender confused, then you can make them activists on behalf of a movement. So, for example, there's a clip that was racing around the internet last night. It's from Quebec. So Quebec has basically come to lockdown central in the West. It's like Quebec and Australia. And this is from Quebec TV. And it features children ratting out the unvaccinated and being cheered for it on TV. Says, you, are you vaccinated? Yes, we both have one dose. Are you in favor of mandatory vaccine? Yes, yes.
Wow.
It looks like I drill them. What should we do with the people who don't want the vaccine, she asked. We should call the police. Ooh, yes, yes. If they don't have a vaccine, it can make a lot of people in danger. So like what the government does right now, we should cut everything from them. Little by little, until they submit and get vaccinated. Applause. So it looks like we've got some future politician here. And people given big claps from the weird guy in the small glasses and the giant mustache and the odd man bun. And the use of children as weapons on behalf of the state and on behalf of a statist perception of how people should live is key for the left. Now, do they actually care about the kids? Of course not. Okay, the entire effort to mask children, the international effort to mask children, is entirely rootless. There's no data, none, suggesting that masking children has in any way affected the course of COVID. Children were the demographic group least affected by COVID. And yet they were the demographic group most attacked by the people at the top levels of government. I mean, right now in Britain, you have people who've been going to soccer games for months at this point without masks. but all the children in school were supposed to mask. Down here in Florida, we still have schools that are masking kids for no reason at all. No one's masked down here. We still have schools that are masking kids. It's insane. There's a clip that was floating around yesterday from GB News. It's Great Britain News. And it is of a young woman who it looks like just may have graduated high school recently, talking about the effect on kids of forcing them to wear masks and how the COVID insanity has affected kids. Because these folks don't care about kids. They just want to control them so that you can't. And the effect on kids, of course, is grave. When you teach kids gender confusion, the effect on them is grave and terrifying. When you teach kids racial essentialism, the effect on them is grave and terrifying. And when you forcibly mandate masks upon small children for no apparent reason, the effect is grave and terrifying. Because it ain't about the kids. It's about using the kids as weapons. Here is this this young woman from GB News.
It literally ruined our lives. And nobody spoke about it at all. And the commentators, they had union reps come on and say, this is what the school should have put in place. And they didn't care about what this did to us. And this is the first time I've ever spoken about it on TV because I knew that I'd cry about it. But I literally watched and felt like my entire life was falling apart because of what this government did to young people. And nobody cares. Not one person has cared about children in this pandemic. They think, oh, let's throw... Why are we putting masks on them when people can go to football stadiums and they can go to theatres and play Nadeem Zahawi sitting there at the teaching awards with no mask and yet we're disrespecting kids? This pandemic will finish. The damage this has done for us is forever.
100%. She is 100% right, but no one cared about the kids. You're protecting the kids by forcing them out of school and then by forcing them to mask go back to school and by having Randy Weingarten run things here in the United States. Now, again, this is a cult. There's a guy named Vinay Prasad who writes for Tablet, among other places. He's a hematologist, oncologist, and associate professor of epidemiology and biostatistics at the University of California, San Francisco. He has a piece today titled The Cult of Masked School Children. He says, as we enter the third year of the pandemic, every child age 5 and up is eligible to receive a COVID vaccine in the United States. Oddly, this development has been accompanied by increased pressure on kids to wear masks in school. Some private schools have gone beyond cloth masking and now mandated N95 or equivalent masks for children as young as 4. The Berkeley Unified School District in California recently began transitioning students to N95 level masking. This isn't a matter of protecting children, their teachers, or their grandparents. It's delusional, dangerous, cult-like behavior. He says, let's start with cloth masks, which have been the most common type of facial covering used to cover kids' faces in school. In the only cluster randomized trial conducted during the pandemic among adults, cloth masking failed to improve the primary outcome of COVID cases that were confirmed with a blood test. The United States is uniquely aggressive in masking young kids. Contrary to scientific evidence, the CDC and the American Academy of Pediatrics advise that kids as young as 2 should wear masks. Europe has always been more relaxed on this issue, and the WHO advises against masks for kids under 6 and only selectively for kids under 11. Now, let's consider N95 or equivalent masks designed to filter a high percentage of particles. To achieve this goal, N95 masks require a snug fit and validation. Notably, there are no approved N95s for kids, because these masks have not been subject to validation for young people. All masks sold with this moniker are merely N95-style masks, thought to be equivalent, possibly. What is the goal of masking policy? Does it at least help to slow the infection? Pre-vaccine, it made sense to try to delay infection until people could be vaccinated, but Omicron infects everybody. How about the effects of long COVID? Says Vinay Prasad. He says, the best data we have suggests between 0% and 2% of kids infected will experience symptoms beyond any control measures. The larger point is that if infection is inevitable, if it's just a matter of time, considerations of long COVID are moot. No matter how we reach the destination, we'll have to help children who develop long COVID. That's true, whether we make them wear masks or face shields or hold their breath every time they go indoors. And yet we have continued down this path because, again, it is not about saving the children. It is about using the children. Now, you say that you're endangering kids if you don't force everybody to mask, or if you don't force everybody to vaccinate, or if you don't indoctrinate kids in gender theory, if you don't indoctrinate them in the insanity of anti-racist garbage from Ibram X. Kendi. Kids are not things that ought to be protected, according to the left. They are tools to be used for the creation of a brand new future. Alrighty, coming up, the Democratic agenda to indoctrinate children and control them, it continues apace. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Why does Bitcoin provide the highest probability of opportunity for everyone? Learn how transformative it really is at the Shasta Bitcoin Summit and Retreat on Friday and Saturday, March 18th and 19th, 2022. 1- and 2-day tickets are on sale now, Get all the details and your tickets at ShastaBitcoinSummit.com or call 530-324-5175.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining. The birds are singing. And there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that. And it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet. Mount Shasta spring water.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans' issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
When it comes to best breakfast, you know Black Bear Diner is the place to be. But have you considered feeding your dinner bear there? Nothing says comfort like slow-cooked pot roast, house-made meatloaf, or a tender, breaded chicken fried steak. These dinners will take you back to the best home cooking comfort you know. Serve daily at Black Bear Diner at 2605 Hilltop Drive.
Black Bear Diner.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2000 or online at homecomfort.org, and they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has the chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
I expect it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right? So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to MakeTheConnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, The Democrats have made their agenda clear. They wish to control children in every respect. Alrighty, so the agenda to indoctrinate children continues apace. When it comes to masking, the idea is that allowing children to go to school unmasked is some form of cruelty to kids. There's a piece by Teresa Vargas writing for the Washington Post today. Teresa Vargas, who is a local columnist for the Washington Post, she says, in catering to selfish parents, Youngkin is failing Virginia's kids. In catering to selfish parents, you see, the parents are the selfish ones. The great and good expositors of masking for all, they're the ones who care about the kids, but people's own parents don't care about them. The hilarious, ridiculous, insane, and insipid notion that parents don't care about their kids, random Joe cares about your kids more than you do, it's totally crazy. It is contrary to not only all reality, but to all decency. But here's what Teresa Vargas writes. When children test positive for COVID at my children's Virginia elementary school, parents don't normally get much information. We are left to wait and see whether we will receive an email saying that student was in close contact with our child. I received several of those emails this school year. Each has evoked in me the same quiet worry and frustration that comes with being thrust again into the unknown. Each has brought the same questions. Will my children get sick? Will my husband or I get sick? Will our kids have to stay home from school to quarantine, forcing them to miss lesson plans, and us to figure out how to meet the demands of full-time jobs and childcare? But the one emotion I have never felt while reading those emails is annoyance toward the parents of the kids who tested positive. I have felt sympathy for them and concern for their families. I have felt mortified on their behalf, knowing how awful I would feel if I were in their place. How about you calm the F down, lady? Omicron ain't killing your kids. And if you're vaccinated, ain't killing you either. But you are so insane that you think that the state should mandate that everybody your kid's age is supposed to now mask. For no apparent reason, you can't provide any data to support this position. No data at all. It's a religious position. But this columnist says, the way I have looked at it is we are in this together. No, we are not when you want to control everybody around you. We're all exhausted, but we're doing our best to keep our school community safe. Then a message popped up on a Facebook page for the school community last week. It was written by a staff member. It came at the end of a particularly trying week at the school, one that saw students in seven classes forced into quarantine because at least one child in each had tested positive for COVID. One of those classes belonged to my 9-year-old son. So first of all, this is because your school is stupid. You should not be testing asymptomatic kids. Period. End of story. You're not going to slow the spread of Omicron. Omicron is going to hit everyone. You're going to get immunity one way or the other. Get over it. But, says the message, many of you were inconvenienced by the quarantine protocols enacted in your child's classroom this past week. The message read, several of those class quarantines would have been avoided if people had given their actions careful consideration before doing them. The actions of a few this week have upset many families and caused distress, as well as left our staff stunned and, frankly, a little hurt at the disregard for our community's health and well-being. So, there were three actions that had caused some disruption. Two of them, children were sent to school before their quarantine time was up. Children were sent to school while their families awaited coronavirus test results. These were concerning, but they weren't as surprising as the third result given. The paragraph read, do not withhold positive test results. All positive COVID-19 test results are reported to the Virginia Department of Health. Sending your child to school knowing they have a positive test is purposefully putting the community at risk and will also spur the quarantining of an entire classroom. I read it again before I accepted what it was saying. Parents had lied. Yeah, no, yes, they did. You know why they lied? The reason that they lied is because you have set up a completely unlivable standard. Because you have now suggested that the best thing that a parent can do is never test their kid. If these parents are smart, they're not going to test their kids. They're just going to wait until they are asymptomatic from whatever it is they have and then send them back to school. Because they're not testing them for flu before they send them back to school. They're just going to wait until the kid has no symptoms and send them back. Which, by the way, would be the normal way to treat disease in this country. We have made it completely unlivable for children. We are quarantining kids for 10, 20, 30 days outside the classroom, depending on how many siblings they have or their home living situation. But the bottom line for this Washington Post columnist is she cares about your kids more than Youngkin cares about your kids. And that is why she has to control your kids. And Youngkin has to stop catering to selfish parents. It's Youngkin's fault that all of this is happening. Well, maybe it's your fault that this is happening. We'll get some more on this in just one moment. First, I don't really want big tech tracking what I do. You want big tech tracking what you do? You trust all those guys at the top of big tech who hate your guts tracking all of your internet activity? I mean, not like they would use it for nefarious purposes or anything. You can probably trust them. Or maybe if you don't trust them, you should use ExpressVPN the way I do. If you've ever wondered how free-to-access tech giants make their money, the answer is they track your searches, video history, everything you click on. They build a profile on you, and then they sell off your sensitive data. When you use the ExpressVPN app on your computer or phone, you anonymize much of your online presence by hiding your IP address. That makes your activity more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. What's more, ExpressVPN encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cybercriminals. What I like most is how easy it is to use. It takes just one click to protect all your devices, which is why ExpressVPN is rated number one by Business Insider. Revoke Big Tech's right to your data. Secure your internet with the VPN I trust for online protection. Visit expressvpn.com/ben. That's ExpressVPN.com/ben. Get 3 extra months for free with my exclusive link. Go to expressvpn.com/ben right now to learn more. Okay, so in this column it says, I'm an Arlington parent. I want my children to be able to attend school again without having to wear masks. I also know it is not yet safe enough for them to do that. Really? Provide evidence. Provide evidence. How many kids have died from Omicron? Any evidence whatsoever. Please, I'm waiting. Oh, you can't provide because you don't, because the evidence is irrelevant. It's not just with regard to masking kids, obviously. It's also with regard to critical race theory. Okay, so critical race theory is indeed taught in schools. There's a watered-down version of it. That is Ibram X. Kendi nonsense. This is where you teach your child, a 5-6-year-old child, that they are the inevitable beneficiary of white privilege in the United States because all of the institutions of the United States were rooted in bigotry. And therefore, if you are white, you enjoy an inherent privilege under the system that black people do not enjoy. Okay, this stuff is being taught to small children. There are kindergarten materials in particular areas of the country that mirror the language of Ibram X. Kendi, who is a ridiculous figure. Ibram X. Kendi, by the way, insists that he is an expert on this stuff, despite not being able to actually define the term racism. It's a pretty infamous clip of him being asked to define racism. And he says, racism is when racist people do racist actions. Which is like saying, define the word red. Red is when red things are red. Oh, thanks, Ibram. Okay, so here is Ibram X. Kendi explaining to Trevor Noah and company. Well, this is actually to his sub-host. This is Ibram X. Kendi explaining to The Daily Show why he is such an expert on race. He's such an expert, guys.
Generally, people don't believe in science, but they really don't believe in racial science. They just think I'm just up here talking. You know, just one day I just decided to start talking about race and racism, that I wasn't trained to study this, that this isn't my expertise.
It isn't. You're an idiot. He hasn't said a true thing probably his entire career. Like, I want his scientific credentials, Ibram X. Kendi. I would love to hear them. I would love nothing better than to hear his scientific credentials. Because his actual education is he got dual BS degrees in African-American studies and magazine production from Florida A&M. And then he got a PhD in African-American studies from Temple. Does that sound stupid? But he's an expert in racial science. First of all, last time people used the term racial science, it was real ugly. Because it was just racial essentialism boiled down to Nazi physiognomy. Okay, so racial science is a pretty nasty history, and maybe if you knew anything about racial history, you wouldn't use the term racial science and then defend it. But Ibram X. Kendi's an expert, and we have to boil his stuff down for the kiddies. Now, if you object to this, if you think that this is bad, and if you wish to actually see what your kids are learning in the classroom, the left has decided this is very bad because they ought to control your kids. When Terry McAuliffe said that parents should not have control over their kids, the educational establishment, the experts should have control over their kids, that's what you call a Kinsley slip. So Michael Kinsley, the columnist, he suggested that there are two types of gaffes. One are gaffes where you say something you don't mean. And the other is where you say exactly what you mean, but you say it out loud. Well, that is what Terry McAuliffe did in Virginia, and it lost in the governor's race. Well, now, according to NBC News, as state legislatures kick into gear this month, Republican governors and lawmakers who have fought to limit discussions of race in public schools are lining up to support a new aim, curriculum transparency. Lawmakers in at least 12 states have introduced legislation to require schools to post lists of all of their teaching materials online, including books, articles, and videos. The governors of Arizona, Florida, and Iowa, who have previously raised concerns about how teachers discuss racism's impact on politics and society, called for curriculum transparency laws in speeches to their legislatures this month. Florida Governor DeSantis said Florida law should provide parents with the right to review the curriculum used in their children's schools. Some conservative activists say the effort is a potent strategic move to expose and root out progressive ideas from schools. It's the next move in a fight over critical race theory, the academic concept typically taught in college courses to examine how laws and institutions perpetuate racism, and which some conservatives have used to describe ideas in books they believe are too progressive or political for the classroom. Christopher Rufo, who's done indispensable work over at the Conservative Manhattan Institute on this stuff, he said, the strategy here is to use a non-threatening liberal value, transparency, to force ideological actors to undergo public scrutiny. But teachers, their unions, and free speech advocates say the proposals would excessively scrutinize daily classwork and would lead teachers to preemptively pull potentially contentious materials to avoid drawing criticism. I love that. So you're a free speech advocate who doesn't want people to know what their kids are learning in class. I feel like you're not so free speech, are you? But according to the left, right, teachers and unions and free speech advocates, they want to be able to teach your children whatever they want to teach your children. And they don't want you to know what they're teaching your kids. Wouldn't that be suspicious? Anytime you leave your kid in a room alone with an adult, you want to know that you could walk into that room at any time and everything would be going fine, right? Complete transparency is, I mean, this is why people leave nanny cams at home. But once you delegate your kid to a classroom, you're supposed to believe that some teacher who's a member of a left-wing Randy Weingarten teachers union, indoctrinated into leftist belief systems, ought to be trusted with everything about your kid without any level of transparency at all? According to NBC News, quoting John Friedman, director of the Free Expression and Education, PEN America, a nonprofit group promoting free speech, it's important we call this out. It's a shift toward more neutral-sounding language, but it's something that is potentially just as censorious. PEN America has said the laws amount to an educational gag order. It is no less concerned about the curriculum transparency proposals, which Friedman said are designed to generate more outrage over lessons on race and gender in school. Yes, that's correct. They are designed to generate outrage on race and gender in school because for the first time in decades, parents are actually looking at the left and realizing what their game is. And their game is to indoctrinate your kids. Their game is to pervert the minds of your children and make your kids believe stuff that is overtly untrue, bad about themselves and bad about America. That's the reality. And if you're not doing that, then what are you so afraid of? What are you so afraid of? Why are you so scared that we might find out what you're teaching our children? Randy Weingarten, she said, quote, good schools and good school districts have always had curriculum transparency, including extensive two-way communication between parents and educators on what we are teaching and how to support our kids. Pretending otherwise is just the latest attempt by Chris Rufo and others to exploit the frustration of COVID to create a toxic environment where the biggest losers are the children. Nope. By the way, if you think that these schools have always been transparent, why are you objecting to laws that say they should be transparent? What exactly is the problem? The fact that the left opposes this is insane. Fully demonstrative of what the actual agenda is, which is we don't want you noticing what we are doing to your kids. Because, again, the cultural indoctrination that has taken place in the United States has done grave damage to entire generations of human beings. If you think it doesn't matter, by the way, look at the damage done to young women particularly, who have been taught that the most vital thing a woman can do on this earth, because it is the most vital thing any human can do on this earth, and only women have the magic superpower, is to have kids and raise them. And yet entire generations have been indoctrinated by our culture, by our educational system, to believe that the height of womanhood is to disdain motherhood. And it's had horrifying effects. I'll get to that in just one moment. First, I'm a pretty unique guy, right? I'm truly one of a kind, which is why I sleep on a mattress designed specifically for me. And you can too. Helix Sleep. They built a quiz. It takes 2 minutes to complete. They use the answers to match your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress for you. If you like a mattress that's really soft or firm, if you sleep on your side, your back, your stomach, or if you sleep really hot with Helix, there's a specific mattress for each and everybody's unique taste. Like moi. Just go to helixsleep.com/Shapiro. They will match you to a mattress that'll give you the best sleep of your life. I sleep on a Helix mattress, but you don't need to take my word for it. Helix was rated best mattress of 2019 by both GQ and Wired magazine. Everything is made right here in America. They've got a 10-year warranty. You get to try it out for 100 nights risk-free. If you try Helix and you don't like it, they pick it up right for you, no problem. Right now, Helix is offering up to $200 off all your mattress orders. Get up to $200 off at helixsleep.com/Shapiro. Right now, again, that's helixsleep.com/Shapiro. They'll match you to a mattress that'll give you the best sleep of your life. I love my Helix Sleep mattress, personalized for me, personalized for my wife. Check them out right now, helixsleep.com/Shapiro. Get up to $200 off when you use that code, helixsleep.com/Shapiro. All right, coming up, when we talk about cultural control over children and the impact that that has intergenerationally, nowhere has this been better evidenced than in the world of feminism. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans' issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter of 2021 and 22. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
The YMCA is welcoming new members to come and enjoy the many choices the YMCA has to offer. The YMCA has a variety of fitness activities, including swimming, aqua aerobics, cardio, weights, group power classes, and booty yoga. There's over 100 classes to choose from. The YMCA is so much more than a gym. The Y is a community. Join the YMCA. 246-YMCA or go online to sfymca.org.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So when we talk about the left trying to control children, trying to raise kids in a particular way, the effect is quite evident. That is particularly true when it comes to feminism. When we talk about the left and their control over kids, what we mean is that the left has had intergenerational effects through their seizing of the high points in American culture and education. And it's had a massive, terrible impact on the United States. There's a really good piece by a person named Sasha White over at Tablet Mag called "A Woman's Place is in the Rat Race." In today's miserable workforce, the career-centric promises of modern feminism are hollower and less fulfilling than ever. One of the most miserable groups of American workers is women, who face a burnout crisis and report the highest levels of workplace exhaustion and dissatisfaction, according to this columnist. A 2021 study by McKinsey & Company and LeanIn.org found that 42% of women say they feel burned out often or almost always. According to the same study, one in three women says they have considered downshifting their careers or leaving the workforce this year. Paradoxically, women in this country were promised we would finally be fulfilled and empowered if we entered the workforce. Unlike my mother and grandmother's generation, who were raised to become mothers and wives, my entire generation was taught that our careers will give us deep meaning and allow us to make a difference in the world. That promise rings hollow for several reasons. On a personal level, it creates a mentality in which the loss of one's career can lead to a devastating emotional void, and on a societal level, it has been manipulated for all sorts of damaging corporatist ends. So why is it still orthodoxy in most feminist circles that going to work equals liberation? This is exactly right, of course. And again, the simple fact of the matter is that women's happiness and satisfaction in life has declined relative to men since the 1970s. And yet, pop feminism has continued to lean into the corporate system, devaluing any life choice for women that does not center on economic prosperity. Of course, this system does not only harm women. Lower and lower middle class men today are reduced to a third tier status in today's workplaces too. America is known for its poor treatment of such workers, long hours, low wages, little time off, no mandated paid parental leave. Countrywide, only 30% of Americans report feeling engaged at work. Yet identity politics obscures that this state of affairs applies to all workers, and the advocates of careerist feminism promote the idea that men have a joyous experience in capitalism that we can also be privy to if only we could break the glass ceiling, which of course is not true. You know, the bottom line here is that we have taught pathologies to generations of Americans. And then in order to promote the pathology still further, you have to hijack the next generation of Americans. Because it turns out that the people who embrace the let's not have kids, let's embrace sexual hedonism, the only thing that matters is whatever floats your boat. Turns out those people don't have a lot of kids. So how do you promote that agenda to the next generation? The answer is you have to seize other people's kids. And you have to stop anybody from finding out about it if you are Randy Weingarten and the teachers' unions. Okay, meanwhile, back to Joe Biden. Joe Biden has now fomented an absolute mess in Ukraine. According to the Washington Post, President Biden faced a furor on Thursday, including a highly unusual rebuke from Ukraine's president and sharp criticism from Republican members of Congress after appearing to downplay a hypothetical minor incursion by Russia into its neighbor's territory. The administration was hastily thrown into cleanup mode, reassuring allies and foes the United States would view any crossing by Russian troops into Ukraine as unacceptable aggression. This is because Joe Biden said in an open press conference that a minor incursion would be treated differently than a full-scale invasion of Ukraine, which is an insane statement. It is just the tip of foreign policy. This prompted the president of Ukraine, Zelensky, it prompted him to tweet out, "We want to remind the great powers there are no minor incursions in small nations, just as there are no minor casualties and little grief from the loss of loved ones. I say this as the president of a great power." And so that is President Vladimir Zelensky just slapping Biden direct across the face. Members of Congress were also critical, of course. Senator Ben Sasse, a Republican of Nebraska, he said the president's press conference was an absolute train wreck that will have serious consequences. President Biden basically gave Putin a green light to invade Ukraine by yammering about the supposed insignificance of a minor incursion. He projected weakness, not strength, which is, of course, absolutely 100% undeniably true. Okay, so yesterday, Joe Biden had to try to clean this up, and cleanup on aisle 9 commenced. It didn't go fantastically well.
I've been absolutely clear with President Putin. He has no misunderstanding. If any assembled Russian units move across the Ukrainian border, that is an invasion. But it will be met with severe and coordinated economic response that I've discussed in detail with our allies, as well as laid out very clearly for President Putin. But there is no doubt, let there be no doubt at all, that if Putin makes this choice, Russia will pay a heavy price.
Yeah, by heavy price, he just means more sanctions that many of our European allies won't even join us in. Right, but Biden said that himself in the press conference. He said NATO is divided, which is exactly what Putin wants to hear. If NATO is divided, there isn't a unified response. So he said NATO is divided over what happens if they just go and take the Donetsk region, for example. And that's exactly what he wasn't supposed to be saying. According to the Washington Post, quote, "For weeks, top U.S. officials have been emphasizing that Washington is fully united with its European allies about how to respond to Russia. But Biden said that was not entirely the case in all circumstances, suggesting that Russian action short of an invasion could cause a divide among allies about how to forcefully respond. Many officials conceded Biden was probably accurately portraying real divisions that could emerge within NATO, but Europe and U.S. leaders have been at pains to emphasize their unity, not their differences." Biden said in that press conference, quote, "There are differences in NATO as to what countries are willing to do, depending on what happens that agree to which we have to go." And of course, Vladimir Putin just sits in the background chuckling heavily. Jen Psaki tried to clean this up as well. She says, don't worry. Our allies know what Biden was saying. Yeah, they know. That's why they're tweeting out that they think that he just handed the place over to Vladimir Putin.
I can assure you that our allies and partners know exactly what the president's position is. They knew what it was yesterday. They knew during the press conference. They knew after the press conference, because we have been engaged closely and working in lockstep with them for weeks on the rising military incursion or threat posed by Russia. So they know exactly where they stand. They always have, and they certainly do today.
Thank you for that massively failed cleanup. This president is a failure on every level. And here's the thing. Again, the underlying agenda is bad. It's a very, very bad and nefarious agenda. And that's what Americans are responding to. They're not responding to Joe Biden's lack of rhetorical flourish. They're responding to the fact that he has been telling the truth, and so has his party. The mask is off. Maybe the story of American politics since 2016 is that all the masks are off. All the veils have been removed. And we're seeing for the first time the full ugliness of what everybody seems to think about everything. And the American people are looking direct in the face of the dictatorial mandates from the Biden administration and their viewpoint on how children ought to be raised and their viewpoint on foreign policy. And they're saying, we don't like any of this. And they are running screaming the other way. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. Well, the Senate Republicans' point man on elections says the GOP is poised to make major gains during the 2022 midterms and 2024. Correspondent Bob Agnew has the story.
Senator Rick Scott of Florida chairs the National Republican Senatorial Committee and bases much of his rosy outlook on President Biden's tumbling poll numbers.
Every month, Biden goes down and our chances of taking the Senate to go back up.
Scott says more Americans are leaning toward Republicans as they learn more about the president and his party's agenda.
I think what everybody is seeing is the Democrats have become the anti-democracy party. They have become very radical.
Senator Rick Scott of Florida was interviewed by the Salem Radio Network. Bob Agnew reporting.
Also at townhall.com, President Biden's job approval numbers just keep following, especially following his extended press conference this week. Bernie Bennett reports.
Asmussen reports daily presidential tracking poll for Friday shows that 41% of likely U.S. voters approve of President Biden's job performance, 58% disapprove. The latest figures include 20% who strongly approve of the job Mr. Biden is doing and 47% who strongly disapprove. This gives him a presidential approval index rating of negative 27. At this point in his presidency, former President Trump had a 45% approval rating, 4% higher than President Biden. Bernie Bennett reporting.
The United States is blocking some flights by Chinese airlines. That in retaliation for China canceling more than a dozen flights there by American carriers. Transportation Department issued an order to block 44 flights by four different Chinese airlines. The move in response to China recently canceling flights by Delta, United, and American after some passengers on earlier flights had tested positive for COVID. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I want to take a moment to thank the great people at Patriot Mobile for their support. Whether it's my show, America First, other conservative hosts, Turning Point USA, CPAC, or the March for Life, Patriot Mobile are there supporting all of it because they're fully in the trenches with you and me. That's why I'm proud to partner with Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative cell phone provider, and want you to as well. They have the same broad nationwide coverage with the same cell phone towers and an amazing 100% U.S.-based customer support team that provides exceptional service. More importantly, Patriot Mobile shares your conservative values and supports organizations fighting for religious freedom, constitutional rights, the sanctity of life, and our veterans and first responders. Go to patriotmobile.com/GORKA or call 972-PATRIOT and use offer code GORKA. That's patriotmobile.com/GORKA or 972-PATRIOT.
Islamic State gunmen have mounted deadly attacks in Syria and Iraq.
More than 100 IS militants carried out a complex attack on Syria's largest prison holding suspected extremists. And members of the group in Iraq stormed an army barracks, killing soldiers as they slept. The prison break in Syria is believed to be the largest since the militants lost territory they had held there nearly 3 years ago. IS sleeper cells have become more active in both countries. The attack at an army barracks in a mountainous area north of Baghdad was one of the deadliest targeting the Iraqi military in recent months. I'm Charles Villadesma.
And late reports indicate another attack killed at least 8 more soldiers. Carnival activities in Rio de Janeiro and Sao Paulo held in late April this year instead of February. Authorities say the change because of a high number of virus cases in Brazil. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. General Motors will spend $154 million, that to revamp an old factory near Buffalo, New York. John Scott explains why.
That's so it can make a key part for electric vehicle motors. The automaker says it will add about 230 jobs in Lockport, about 30 miles northeast of Buffalo. The plant will build stator modules, which create a magnetic field to turn motors in new electric trucks and SUVs. Currently, the Lockport plant has about 1,500 workers. The new positions would be filled between 2023 and 2026. John Scott reporting.
More heavy losses Friday on Wall Street, a rough week. Friday, the Dow was off 450 points, closing at 34,265, not much better on the tech side. NASDAQ lost 385 at 13,768. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Moment in History by KCNR and historian Dottie Smith. The Delta Toll Road was a 28-mile-long toll road that began at Delta in the Sacramento River Canyon and ended at Trinity Center in Trinity County. It is one of the last toll roads in California. It was built in 1902 by the Northern Trinity Toll Road Company to connect with the railroad at Delta. A part of the Trinity County road section is under Trinity Lake. It was an important commercial route for many years and the last Shasta County toll road to go out of business in 1926. Purchased in Shasta and Trinity counties in 1928, who incorporated it into the county road system. Remains of the toll house exist near the top of the Trinity Divide beside the road. Portions of the road are still drivable, however, you might not get through in the winter. Want more Dottie? Go to the Shasta County Historical Society.
Hey, hey, welcome. This is The Ben Shapiro Show. The Ben Shapiro Show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Protect your online privacy today at expressvpn.com/Ben. Well, the Joe Biden vax mandate went down to absolute flaming defeat at the Supreme Court level, 6-3. Six justices finding it was a complete relegation of congressional authority to nothingness to allow OSHA to do whatever it wanted to do with regard to vaccine mandates, that essentially they were exceeding the scope of their authority in unconstitutional fashion. And because that vax mandate went down, you're now starting to see major companies who are getting rid of their own vax mandates. Now, I do think that there is a right and a wrong here, right? We here at the Daily Wire, day one, we said that we would not be imposing a vax mandate on our people. Why? Because we actually followed the data. And what we saw is that people who wanted to get vaxed were able to get vaxed. And if you were vaxed, you were now effectively safe as you could be from the virus because the virus is now endemic. And so we said, if you don't want to get vaxxed, that is on you. And by the way, if you have natural immunity, the data are now showing that natural immunity is more durable than vax immunity by a pretty significant margin. So we're not going to force you to get vaxxed, particularly if you already have natural immunity. There are other companies that are out there who shall remain nameless, who have been pushing the vax mandate since November, October, and who continue to push it even after the federal government has gone down to flaming defeat here. One of those companies, however, that is not doing that is Starbucks. So yesterday, Starbucks announced that they would stop requiring its U.S. employees to be vaccinated against COVID-19 or submit to regular testing. Starbucks said that they would quit it. They weren't going to do this anymore. And the reason they're not going to do this anymore, of course, is because they're afraid of losing employees. They're afraid of losing workers. So they've decided to suspend their own worker vax and test mandate, according to the New York Times. Quote, the Supreme Court's ruling last week shutting down the Biden administration's effort to enlist large employers in its vaccination campaign, experts said, would trigger a new wave of uncertainty about how companies keep workers safe from COVID-19. The answer is they don't, because no one keeps anybody safe from COVID-19. All you can do is keep yourself safe from COVID-19 by getting a vaccination if you so choose. That's it. Now we're done. Starbucks, with 9,000 U.S. coffee shops and 200,000 workers, has become one of the first major retailers to backtrack on vax plans since the ruling. Starbucks told its employees in a memo on Tuesday they would no longer be required to be fully vaccinated or submit to weekly coronavirus testing. Just 2 weeks earlier, the company had detailed the requirement and set a deadline of February 9th. The Supreme Court decision did not prohibit companies from keeping their vaccine rules in place. Many will continue rolling out stringent COVID-19 safety protocols. Starbucks' move highlights how the court's ruling has put the responsibility for determining vax rules on employers. Companies face a patchwork of federal, state, and local laws, which range from vaccine mandates that are stricter than the feds to laws blocking companies from requiring workers to wear masks. Retailers and their advocates have been the most vocal critics of the federal government's vaccine rule, saying it would have exacerbated their struggle to hire or hold on to workers when millions of unemployed Americans remain on the sidelines in the job market. Some labor lawyers say they think other companies will follow Starbucks in relaxing or undoing their company mandates, which, of course, is exactly what they should do. Meanwhile, Carhartt has stuck with its COVID-19 vaccine mandate, and there is evident backlash. According to Joseph Davila, reporting for the Wall Street Journal, 1 week after apparel company Carhartt, Inc. declared it was keeping its COVID-19 vaccine mandate in place, the company defended its plans despite growing pushback from customers and on social media. Some people said they would stop buying Carhartt products and said the company shouldn't be forcing its employees to choose between getting vaccinated and keeping their job. Other customers welcomed the company's mandate and thanked Carhartt for keeping their employees safe. The workwear apparel maker based in Dearborn, Michigan, said it decided to keep its own vax mandate to ensure workplace safety. Last week's ruling from the Supreme Court striking down the Biden administration's vax mandate didn't affect the company's own mandate. The spokeswoman said Carhartt fully understands and respects the varying opinions on this topic. We're aware some of our associates do not support this policy. However, we stand behind our decisions because we believe vaccines are necessary to protect our workforce. And so Carhartt is really feeling the heat. They're feeling the heat particularly because, again, the vast majority of people who shop at Carhartt are probably red state voters. Carhartt is known for making blue-collar work wear. In recent years, its heavy jackets and hats have become a favorite among actors and models as well. Prior to the announcement, the company was mentioned on average about 550 times a day on Twitter. After the letter from the leadership began circulating on social media, that number went up to 25,000 on Wednesday. More than 4,000 tweets used the hashtag boycott Carhartt and other related terms on Wednesday. And listen, I think that this is a good thing. All of these companies get to decide for themselves and then feel the blowback. General Electric changed its vax requirements in December after a federal court blocked the Biden administration's vaccine requirements for federal contractors. The company suspended its remaining vax or test mandate following the Supreme Court ruling, but Citigroup is keeping it. United Airlines has defended its own vax requirements announced in August. They said recently that the mandate has likely saved the lives of about 8 to 10 employees. So what? Like, based on what? The airline had been reporting about one COVID-19 death a week among staffers prior to the mandate's implementation. So we'll see how many companies decide to allow their workers freedom and how many companies decide to continue along this path. And then we will get to respond as we see fit, obviously. Meanwhile, the left continues to maintain that Joe Biden is doing a stellar job when it comes to COVID. And that really it's only the mean unvaccinated who are the problem. Paul Krugman, who can always be counted on for the world's stupidest take, has a piece titled Biden versus the Friends of COVID. Yes, everyone who opposes Joe Biden is a friend of COVID now. We're not the people looking at the data and realizing what COVID is, an endemic virus with a relatively low death rate compared to the original variant. No, we are friends of COVID because if we were just good people, we would know how to shut down the virus, which is weird because Australia is having 100,000 cases a day. We'll get to more from the idiot Paul Krugman in just one moment. First, let's talk about the fact you are spending too much money on gas because you are. And this is why you need Get Upside. My listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download that free Get Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now. Use promo code Shapiro. Get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Do not pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using Get Upside. Just download the app for free. Use promo code Shapiro. Get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your very first tank of gas. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 a year in cash back. There's no catch. The cash back gets added directly to your account. You can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download that free GetUpside app. Use promo code Shapiro to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your very first tank of gas. Again, that is promo code Shapiro when you get that free GetUpside app from the App Store or Google Play. Use that promo code Shapiro, get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank of gas, up to 25 cents per gallon on every tank of gas after that. If you're spending too much money on gas, this is like the best way to lower it. There is no downside to it. So why wouldn't you just go get that free GetUpside app today? Okay, meanwhile, Paul Krugman still trying to claim against all evidence that the reason Joe Biden is failing is not because of Joe Biden, it's because of all of Joe Biden's enemies. By the way, the way that you can tell a failed politician is when they start blaming their failures on their enemies. It turns out that politics is filled with political enemies. If Joe Biden is failing, it's because Joe Biden is a bad president. If Donald Trump was succeeding, it's because Donald Trump was succeeding in spite of his enemies. Typically, most wounds in politics are self-inflicted. It is very difficult for an opponent to inflict a wound on you in politics without you being complicit in the wound. Anyway, Paul Krugman thinks that it's all the bad, mean people who won't just go along to get along on the Biden vax mandates, for example. Krugman says, President Biden ended his first year in office on a low note, with polls showing public disapproval of his handling of, well, just about everything. We are, of course, hearing endless commentary about his political missteps, along with some acknowledgement that public expectations were too high, given the razor-thin Democratic majority in Congress. One thing I don't think gets enough emphasis, however, is the extent to which Biden has been hurt by the way the pandemic keeps dragging on, a dismal reality for which he bears little responsibility. Oh, the messaging could have been clearer, testing and masks made more available and so on. But Biden's biggest error on COVID-19 was underestimating the ruthlessness of his opponents, who have done all they can to undermine America's pandemic response. Yeah, it's all the meanies down south who've done this. And all of the happy red states that have been welcoming and accepting all of the refugees from the Northeast. Krugman says, before I get to the politics of COVID response, let's talk about how pervasively the pandemic's persistence colors the nation's mood. Some of the effects are direct and obvious. Certainly most Americans, even if they haven't developed COVID themselves, know people who've gotten seriously ill or died. Furthermore, COVID is still making life difficult in ways large and small. Shuttered schools were a nightmare for many parents. They've reopened in most places, but are still subject to unpredictable closings. Well, because of you, and because of policy, that is not because of COVID. Kids are not dying in mass numbers from COVID. This is because you have decided to shut down schools because you guys are idiots. Work is also disrupted. According to the Census Bureau's most recent household pulse survey, 8.7 million Americans were not working because they were either sick with COVID or caring for someone else who was. 3.2 million more weren't working out of fear of contracting or spreading the virus. Wait, hold up. 3 million people are not working out of fear of contracting or spreading the virus? Not because they were sick and diagnosed or caring for someone else, just because they don't want to go to work. And that's somehow the fault of COVID? Maybe that's just an excuse. But according to Paul Krugman, COVID is contributing to our economic problems. Fear of face-to-face contact had skewed consumer spending away from services and toward goods, straining supply chains, fueling inflation. Fear of infection and burnout among workers who have been coping with the pandemic's strains are probably major factors in labor shortages. Well, it's hard to say that it's burnout that is leading to worker shortages when people just refuse to come back to work. Partisanship, says Paul Krugman, surely plays a big role, with Republicans claiming the economy is as bad now as it was in early 2009, when we were losing 700,000 jobs a month. But the pandemic also probably darkens perceptions. Aside from a general sense of malaise, people see closed shops and empty office buildings, which makes things look worse than they are. While there are various reasons individuals fail to get vaccinated, at a national level, our shortfall is all about politics. Vaccination rates in blue states are similar to those in other advanced countries. The rates in red states are far behind. At the county level, there's this stunning negative correlation between Donald Trump's share of the 2020 vote and the vaccination rate. Why do many Republicans refuse the vaccines? Because they're getting a steady stream of misinformation from right-wing media, blah, 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 blah. Why are right-wing elites so hostile to vaccines? Their real motive is the desire to prevent Democrats from achieving any kind of policy success. Oh, that's what it is. Oh, got it. So it's not that we believe in natural immunity and the ability of individuals to make their own decisions. It's that we just don't want Joe Biden to succeed. There's only one problem with this theory, gang. The problem with this theory is that the states that are succeeding economically are all the states Paul Krugman hates. All the states that are doing really well economically right now are all the states that Paul Krugman thinks are bad and shutting down the economy. He's going to have to explain that at some point, is he not? I am looking at the latest unemployment rate for states. Seasonally adjusted. Here is the November rate. Okay, you ready? Nebraska, 1.8%. Utah, 2.1%. Oklahoma, 2.5%. Idaho, 2.6%. Vermont is the only blue state here. Then it's New Hampshire, South Dakota, Georgia, Montana, Indiana, Wisconsin, Alabama, North Dakota. Okay, all of those are well below 3.5% unemployment rate. Now, go to the bottom of the list. All the places that have done it right, according to Paul Krugman. California has the worst unemployment rate in the nation, 6.9%. New York has the third worst unemployment rate, 6.6%, tied with New Jersey, 6.6%, followed by New Mexico, Hawaii, District of Columbia, and Connecticut. Noticing a correlation? It's amazing. All these idiots, they keep saying, well, Joe Biden's economy would be booming if it weren't for these terrible right-wingers. There's only one problem. Everywhere the terrible right-wingers live and act as a majority politically, the economy is booming. So maybe it has nothing whatsoever to do with COVID and everything to do with your crappy policy response and the insane paranoia that you have bred in literally tens of millions of American citizens. Maybe it's that. Maybe it's that. Says Paul Krugman, in 1948, Harry Truman successfully campaigned against do-nothing Republicans who were blocking his economic and housing agenda. Biden could, with even more justification, campaign against Republicans whose anti-vaccine posturing is putting both the national economy and thousands of American lives at risk. Would this work? Nobody knows. It's time for Biden to come out swinging. This guy is so delusional. So delusional. Because since when has Joe Biden not been swinging at the unvaxxed? He's been doing it for months. He's been saying for months the unvaxxed are that's the reason we're shut down. And it's been a complete failure. Because everything Biden touches is a failure. Speaking of which, Joe Biden, a couple of days ago, announced that election integrity in the United States was over. And then Jen Psaki had to try and make the bet after he crapped it. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month starting at 8 a.m. for the Gorman Law Hour featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour, starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with the promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with the promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Hi, my name's Nick Gardner. I have a show here on KCNR, Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every other Sunday. The name of my show is Poke the Hornet's Nest.
No mountain I can't climb, there's no tower too high, no plane that I can't learn how to fly. What do I gotta do to get through to you to show you there ain't nothing I can't take this chainsaw to?
I'm going to concentrate on local politics mainly, but we'll talk about national politics also. You'll get the view of the common citizen here in Reading, California. And remember, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Maybe it's a good time for a new perspective about what's been going on in our town, in our state, in our nation. I hope you tune in and hear the other side of the news.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, President Biden, in that horrible press conference a couple of days ago, he doubted American elections. I mean, there's just no question about it. He actively cast doubt on American elections. He said, if we don't pass this bill, which then proceeded to fail, American elections will be in doubt. And the White House has been trying to clean this up ever since, to no effect, because other members of the Democratic Party keep saying the same thing. Right? After spending 2 years suggesting that Donald Trump was the worst thing ever to happen to American politics because he was doubting election results, and he was undermining faith in America's elections. Joe Biden literally came out in a press conference and just said, our future elections will not be legitimate if I don't get what I want. By the way, he's not the only one who says this. Vice President Kamala Harris was asked specifically about this yesterday, about whether Biden thinks the midterms will be illegitimate. And it got awkward because there's no such thing as Vice President Harris not being awkward. She's the most awkward human being who has ever walked the earth.
Does he think, now that these bills haven't been passed, that the 22 midterms won't be legitimate or fair or free?
Let's not conflate issues. So what we are looking at, and the topic of so much debate last night, was that we as America cannot afford to allow this blatant erosion of our democracy, and in particular, the right of all Americans who are eligible to vote to have access to the ballot unfettered.
So I noticed one thing that she didn't say right there is that the elections will continue to be legitimate even if we don't pass this bill. Because that's what Joe Biden said. He literally said the elections will be illegitimate if we don't pass this bill. He said the legitimacy of the election is directly proportional to how many of the Republican bills get passed, which is an insane statement. James Clyburn, who is supposedly one of the wise old men of the House of Representatives, he was a leading factor in Joe Biden winning the nomination, James Clyburn of South Carolina, he openly says, unless Democrats are running elections, I just don't trust the results.
We know the history of Alabama. We know the history of Georgia, Florida, Texas, South Carolina, North Carolina. We know that history. And so they're now making these changes. And one change is, if you give somebody a drink of water standing in line, it's a felony. That is crazy. So how could it be a legitimate election if you've got those kinds of things hanging over you?
Okay, so there can't be a legitimate election unless Democrats are running the election. Meanwhile, Jen Psaki is trying to clean this up. So yesterday she was asked about it. She said, no, Joe Biden isn't challenging elections. He isn't. Yes, he is. That is the whole premise of what he's saying. Honestly, Jen Psaki has a terrible job, right? Being a White House press secretary is a very rough job. It's particularly bad when the president of the United States is absolutely incoherent. It was hard when Trump was president because if you were the press secretary and you said something, you didn't know whether Trump was immediately going to say that you were lying or saying something wrong. Like Trump would actively come out and shiv you. But if you're Jen Psaki and you have to defend whatever nonsense spews out of the oatmeal-ridden mouth of the president of the United States, it's a rough job. So here she is trying to walk back. She's trying to clean that Joe Biden rhetorical bedpan right here.
He was not intending to cast doubt on the legitimacy of the 2020 election. He was actually attempting to make the opposite point, which is that in 2020, despite COVID, despite many attempts to suppress the vote, a record number of voters, Democrats and Republicans, independents too, turned out in the face of a pandemic, and election officials made sure they could vote and have those votes counted.
Right. According to Jen Psaki, the only election that has ever been good is the one Joe Biden won. All the other ones that had different procedures because COVID was not in place, all those other ones are illegitimate. So then Jen Psaki had no answer because somebody actually had the temerity to quote Joe Biden, and it got awkward for her.
The president said to him, I'm not saying it's going to be legit. The increase in the prospect of being illegitimate is in direct proportion to us not being able to get these reforms passed. So yes or no, does the president believe it all remains as it is right now, that the elections this fall will be legitimate?
But the point he was making is that as recently as 2020, as we know, the former president was trying to work with local officials to overturn the vote count and not have ballots counted.
A giant fail. Giant fail. Everybody now knows that Joe Biden has no moral high ground. When he says that you can't challenge election results, you can, as long as you're a Democrat. If you're a Republican and you do it, this means you're very bad and evil and undermining a faith in democracy. If you're a Democrat and you do it, this is because you are righteous and you are attempting to stop the erosion of democracy. Weird how this works. Okay, so all of this is going to manifest in very ugly ways for Democrats come 2022. The good news for Democrats, according to Nancy Pelosi, is that the House Democrats are the greatest collection of intellectual heavyweights in American history. You have to love Nancy Pelosi just because there is so little going on upstairs at this point. I mean, it does say something about the United States when the top levels of our political class are all 80-year-old geriatric patients. It says something. Here's Nancy Pelosi, who also, I mean, her sartorial choices are always very interesting. I don't know why she just went and apparently got like a bunch of 1970s style beads and is now wearing them around her. It's a strange sartorial choice. Okay, here we go.
I say to my members on a regular basis when we gather in caucus, and as you know, sometimes it's hybrid these days, but anytime we have gathered in caucus, one way or actually virtually or hybrid, I've said to them, under this roof, figuratively or actually, is the greatest collection of intellect, integrity, an imagination for doing the right thing for the American people.
Yeah, man. I mean, by the way, if that's true, we are so screwed as a nation. If that collection of intellectual luminaries is the greatest collection of intellect and integrity anywhere, imagination for solving America's problems. Who are we talking about here? Like Eric Swalwell, AOC, Ilhan Omar, Pramila Jayapal, Ayanna Pressley. What? The luminaries, the brilliance, the insane intellectual. Those people should probably raise your kids. That's probably the answer. Probably if they raise your kids, everything will be fine. Alrighty, coming up, we'll be joined by James O'Keefe. He has a brand new book, American Muckraker, Rethinking Journalism for the 21st Century. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier in all we do.
Premier Oil Change has been locally owned and operated since we opened in 2006, enjoying long-term relationships with our team members and loyal guests. Many of our team members have worked with us for over 10 years. Many of our certified technicians have logged over 30,000 oil changes, working on hundreds of different vehicle makes and models. In an ever-changing world, we strive to keep up with change with our extensive training program. It's important to the staff at Premier Oil Change that our customers' cars are well taken care of by experienced, well-trained technicians, so you can depend on your vehicle to get you and your family to your destination. Don't forget that you can earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park or our newest location in Anderson across from Roundtable. Remember, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
This is Ted Lighty with Northern Firearms Instruction. In response to COVID-19, NFI has scheduled online Zoom classroom sessions for CCW and CCW Renewal. These online courses will be followed up with live fire range training, which will complete your certification. Follow-on range training is done with the same great instructors you've come to know and love. Give us a call today at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Light, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed, a new show on Sundays, 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
Have you been putting off getting your colonoscopy due to COVID restrictions? Well, there's no better time than now. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, colorectal cancer screenings have declined by 86%, and as a result, up to 10,000 more deaths are projected over the next decade. With early detection, colon cancer has a 90% survival rate, and it may even be preventable with a colonoscopy. At Reading Endoscopy Center, our number one priority is the health and safety of our patients, and our center has always been committed to maintaining strict infection control and prevention protocols. Schedule your colonoscopy today by calling us at 530-246-7000. or visiting readingendoscopy.com. Visit readingendoscopy.com.
13689.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us online is James O'Keefe. He is the founder of Project Veritas and Project Veritas Action. He founded those after he pulled off some of the most consequential undercover journalism coups in a generation. Of course, he's become target number one for the so-called journalismers, all of the journalists who spend their days Jim Acosta-ing all over themselves. James joins the show now. His brand new book, American Muckraker, Rethinking Journalism for the 21st Century. James, thanks so much for joining the show.
Ben, great to be with you.
Okay, so let's talk about the way that the journalistic establishment treats the kind of stuff that you do. It really is kind of amazing. You've broken an enormous number of stories over the past few years. I mean, going back basically a decade at this point. I remember when you first walked into Andrew Breitbart's office with tape from Acorn. I remember being there when that happened. It's been a long time since you started off here. And you've broken an enormous number of consequential stories that have generated legislation and they've generated national response, and yet the media treat you as a pariah. They suggest that you are not, in fact, engaged in journalism. Why the gap?
Well, Ben, I think historically there's always been a tension between access and autonomy in the media. On one hand, you don't want to bite the hand that feeds you your sources in the government, inside these organizations. So Project Veritas, we use undercover techniques, we use whistleblowers. It's a different way of being independent, where you're not extolling the virtue of these government officials, you're challenging them without misrepresenting them the way that the spoken word can. So this book, American Muckraker, is kind of a handbook about how to do journalism in clown world, in a world where, for example, the FBI, the pharmaceutical companies, and the New York Times are working in concert with one another to suppress information and to target journalists. I think people need a handbook for how to speak the truth in such a world.
You know, James, one of the things that you see very often is that there is a complete double standard in terms of the exact modes that you use. So you use particular methods. You use a lot of undercover journalism, secret cameras, and the like. When the left does that and the target is somebody of the right, then it is wildly cheered. I remember in 2012, one of the crucial parts of the campaign was when a Mother Jones reporter secretly taped Mitt Romney talking about 47% of the American population not voting for him because a lot of people don't pay income tax in the country. And this was considered a wildly excellent coup by Mother Jones. If you, however, catch a public official admitting to corruption on tape, this means that you're the bad guy.
Yeah, there's a whole chapter in this book, Ben, about deception. They say, well, you deceive people. You use undercover techniques. Well, they say it's about the methods, but in actuality, and you know this, Ben, it's about the findings. They worry far less about ethics than whose ox is being gored is really what they care about. And that, for example, you have the Planned Parenthood videos, the body part fetal bit videos. David DeLayden, the undercover reporter, recorded those. Let's say he had used hidden cameras into animal cruelty. Nobody would be debating the ethics of whether you could record someone. And furthermore, Ben, as a Harvard Law graduate, you know, Brandeis wrote an article called The Right to Privacy. And really, you know, if you're with the person you're talking to, if you're participating in the conversation that you're having, Project Veritas, myself, would argue that you have a constitutional right to record that conversation as long as the person knows that they're with you. And we talk a lot about privacy and consent and this sort of revolution of whistleblowers and hidden cameras across the country, which we think that if people can see the reality, if they can see the raw information for themselves, we trust the people to draw their own conclusions, and we don't want to just give them the conclusions the way that the press does on TV network news.
Presuming James O'Keefe, his new book is American Muckraker, Rethinking Journalism for the 21st Century. So, James, what is your verification protocol? So, obviously, you have major newspapers and magazines, and they have fact checkers on staff who sometimes make mistakes and gets pretty ugly. But they at least have a supposed process that they run through where they're supposed to go through everything that they print and make sure that what they print is not libelous or slanderous. What is the sort of verification protocol you go through when you decide to run a video?
Well, there's a whole chapter in this book I call Image. And in this chapter of American Muckraker, I talk about that precise thing. You know, we believe in the so idea of participation observation journalism. It's pretty straightforward. It enables a reporter to see and hear things with his own eyes and ears, and that is a virtue. And given that accuracy is journalism's most fundamental objective, it's an extremely important virtue and one that should not be sacrifice to a rigid rule against deception. So the answer to your question is, oftentimes I don't ask you to trust me. I give you the information. You could see it for yourselves. Last week it was documents inside the Defense Department, or it's a recording of someone. And you might say, well, how do we know the people who are saying the thing in the recording are telling the truth? And we do talk to as many sources as we need to talk to confirm that the thing is happening, but oftentimes it's aesthetically true. The people did make those statements. They're caught on tape. And when we look at the Washington Post and someone like Jacob Bagage, the Washington Post, who says, well, we're credible journalists. Well, they're asking you to trust them by virtue of their own decree that they are indeed credible. So it's a self-anointed racket. We don't ask you to trust me because I'm credible. We ask you to trust the evidence of your eyes and ears. And as we know from George Orwell's 1984, that the party asks you to reject the evidence of your eyes and ears. And that's really the problem we have. So I think it's this whole idea of first-person participant observation journalism, where the viewer can see the evidence for themselves.
You know, James, one of the things that I think has happened over the course of journalistic history is there's a shift from journalism as a process to journalists as a profession. You see this in science also, right? When you see Anthony Fauci saying that he is the science as opposed to the scientific process being the science. The process of journalism, which really was sort of initiated by Walter Lippmann in the early 20th century, the idea was that you go through particular protocols and that if you do these particular things, at the end of the day, what you will come up with is a story that is verifiable and journalistic. And instead, what happened is that a professional cadre of journalists started going to journalism school. And because they had a credential, the idea was that somehow they were now more reliable and verifiable. And you see the effects of this. So just in the last 36 hours, you had Nina Totenberg from NPR report a story about the Supreme Court. She suggested that Chief Justice John Roberts told Neil Gorsuch and the other members of the court they had to mask up because Sonia Sotomayor is a diabetic, and that he had refused to mask up because he doesn't care, essentially, if Sonia Sotomayor gets COVID and dies. And the entire Supreme Court denies this. Roberts denies it. Sotomayor denies this. Gorsuch, like, they all deny it. And NPR is standing by it because the idea is that Nina Totenberg is a good reporter. She's a good journalist. And because she's a journalist, we don't have to actually determine whether this was an act of journalism. She has the title, and that's all that matters. Meanwhile, you, James, you're not a journalist, so you should not be given the same protections as other journalists, even if you are committing acts of journalism.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Lippmann and some of these deans of journalism. Who are these journalism gods that dictate to us these things? There's this whole chapter called Propaganda in this book, American Muckraker. And in the early 20th century, there were a lot of these journalism deans. Edward Bernays wrote a book called Propaganda, and they talked about this idea of necessary illusions and stereotypes. We can't give people the raw information because people are too stupid. The herd of people out there cannot process this information. And really, it's a conflict of visions, Ben. I think a lot of these people, they talk about disinformation. What disinformation really is it's accurate facts that lead to conclusions they don't want you to have. So we saw that yesterday with the Brian Stelter thing, the Nina Totenberg thing, the NPR thing. We can shatter those illusions, but it's going to take a little bit of pain and sacrifice and courage because citizens out there, brave whistleblowers, we've worked with so many whistleblowers, Ben, inside government, including last week, the Defense Department. They got nowhere else to go. They certainly can't go to Nina Totenberg at NPR with their revelations. So there needs to be some place for them to go to bring the information out, to shatter the illusions. And the first chapter of my book, American Muckraker, is called Suffering. And it kind of reads like a Dostoevsky novel. It takes you through this journey of pain and sacrifice because, yeah, you do face reputational hazards. But I think we have a choice to make as Americans. Do we really want to put our mortgage and our pension above our own conscience? People are feeling that crisis of conscience. And I've written a book that hopefully appeals to the average man because I think it's going to take normal, everyday, honest, hardworking Americans to shine a light on what's going on inside their institutions.
And James O'Keefe, his book is American Muckraker, Rethinking Journalism for the 21st Century. So, James, one of the obstacles that you face, obviously, is social media, which is constantly constructing rules that seem almost designed to hamper you specifically. They come up with these new rules with regard to, for example, distribution of the images of others, which would shut down, I think, half of journalism online. And they say this is all about, as you say, privacy, or this is all about guarding the image of the person who is on tape. But does violate sort of the basic kind of common law belief that you do not have a reasonable expectation of privacy in public, or that you don't have a reasonable expectation of privacy if you're in a public conversation with 10 other people or something. What do you make of social media as one? It really seems like a one-sided attempt to quash your material in particular.
Yeah, I mean, this whole idea that Twitter had a policy recently, you're not allowed to record people without them knowing, without their permission. This is blatantly unconstitutional, particularly in one-party consent states. And you think about it, just using common sense, it doesn't make any sense. The hidden camera is an extension of a pencil and paper, and certainly society would not consider reasonable an expectation of privacy that would render a less accurate versions of the events in question, you know, something that we should be disseminating. So we would argue that policy is trying to control the dissemination of images and reality, and, you know, whether it's police officers in a riot, whether it's what we do. It's an unconstitutional argument. Ben, you're an attorney. We've been to court so many times, and we keep winning these lawsuits because these arguments break down in court. They break down as basic logic. Recording someone doesn't violate their privacy. If you're with the person, it might violate their sense of dignity to control the dissemination of their own image, but it's not a violation of their privacy. It's not a type of entrapment. It's not even deceiving them. It's actually more, it does them more justice to show a recording of a conversation than it does to characterize it. And I went back and read up some Sinclair's The Jungle, and I found some of his writing, he dramatized and interpreted it. So when you can see it with your own eyes and ears, again, it goes back to this idea of reality, and things are not as they seem and rarely as they should be, to quote the late Mike Wallace. So these policies are going to break down. And yes, we're banned on Twitter, Ben. Project Veritas is banned. I'm banned. But the story we did about the Pentagon Papers last week, specifically the DARPA documents that showed Anthony Fauci was potentially lying under oath, those documents were the number one story, trending story on Twitter, even though I was banned. So we believe that content is king. If this story is strong enough, it will diffuse its way into all the mediums and media. And I think people need to focus on getting those strong content stories rather than just complaining about the censorship.
James O'Keefe's new book is American Muckraker, Rethinking Journalism for the 21st Century. So final question for you, James. One of the questions that I get most often, because I'm lucky, I have a really fun job. I get to commentate on politics all day and give my opinions on it. But one of the questions I get asked most often is, how do you get into the industry? So there are a lot of people who look at the stuff that you do and the difference that you're making. They say, how do I get into doing that? So what's your advice for a young person who's looking to break stories? What's your advice for somebody who wants to get into the political journalism industry?
Well, I would say you learn more on the job in 3 months than you do in J school. I mean, I started a paper. I know, Ben, you were involved in at UCLA. I started a campus paper at Rutgers. I was 19. I just went out and did it. I didn't know what I was doing. I was on campus, so I was pretty safe. I went into my public records hall. This was a state university, Rutgers, and I got access to all the salaries of my professors. So I think you're going to learn by doing. And to follow up with that, Ben, I think we have a crisis of conscience in this country. To quote Solzhenitsyn, are we going to survive at any price? Are we going to let society collapse because of how divided we are? And I think we can't live in fear. And I can't philosophize your audience to become courageous. I can't convince you to go out and do journalism. But what I can tell you is that people who do it set the example for others. And some of these brave whistleblowers like Melissa inside Pfizer or Richard Hopkins at USPS or David Johnson at Hasbro Toys, the black 25-year-old engineer from RIT who blew the whistle on critical race theory, they inspired more people to come to us. So courage is courageous. We got to act. We have to go out and expose them, because at the end of the day, what I believe in this book, American Muckraker, I write this, the only thing that communists fear is being exposed.
Well, the book once again is American Muckraker. The author is James O'Keefe. James, really appreciate the time and good luck with the book.
Thank you, Ben.
All righty. Coming up, we'll get to an act of failed journalism. We'll talk about the latest on that NPR story that has now completely fallen apart. First, let's talk about protecting your online activity. So here's the reality. Your politics don't matter so long as there are people who are attempting to seize your data. So if you're looking at hackers, they just want your data. If you're looking at big tech, they want your data because they can monetize it. You're looking at big government. Big government might care a little bit more about your politics. Bottom line is this. Your data is your data, so why not use ExpressVPN the way that I do in order to protect yourself online? If you've ever wondered how free-to-access tech giants make all their money, the answer is they track your searches, video history, and everything you click on. They build a profile on you, and then they sell off your sensitive data. When you use the ExpressVPN app on your computer or phone, you anonymize much of your online presence by hiding your IP address. That makes your activity more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. What's more, ExpressVPN encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cybercriminals. What I like most is how easy it is to use. It takes just one click to protect all your devices, which is why ExpressVPN is rated number one by Business Insider. Revoke big tech's right to your data. Secure your internet with the VPN I trust for online protection. Visit expressvpn.com/Ben. That's expressvpn.com/Ben. Get 3 extra months for free with my exclusive link. Head on over to expressvpn.com/Ben right now to learn more. Already coming up, NPR is now defending its reporter after the Supreme Court completely debunked her entire story. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family-owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
This is Carl Bott. Join Ted Leidy and me on the last Thursday of each month for North State Now as we discuss things that men talk about. If you ever wanted to hear what men talk about when they're all together, tune in at 6 p.m. the last Thursday of each month and hear politics, hunting, the bourbon of the month, and much more. All of this on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, NPR obviously blew a story, and now they are attempting to cover for the fact that they blew the story. According to NPR, so originally NPR had a story reporting that Neil Gorsuch, the U.S. Supreme Court Justice, had refused to wear a mask despite being asked to do so by Chief Justice John Roberts on behalf of Sonia Sotomayor, who is diabetic. So the idea was that Roberts had asked Gorsuch, that Gorsuch had looked at Sotomayor and said, "I will cough directly on your face," and then she had had to go remote. Okay, well, it turns out that everybody involved denied it. So Roberts was like, "Nope," and Sotomayor was like, "Nope," and Gorsuch was like, "Nope." Here is how NPR reports this. Quote, on Tuesday morning, NPR legal affairs correspondent Edith Totenberg reported that U.S. Supreme Court Justice Neil Gorsuch had declined to wear a mask in court even though he had been asked, and as a result, his colleague, Justice Sonia Sotomayor, was tuning in remotely. On Wednesday, Chief Justice Roberts issued a statement that was emailed to credentialed Supreme Court reporters denying he had asked any justice to wear a mask. In response, Twitter flagged Totenberg's story as potentially false, citing the Chief Justice's statement. That evening, on All Things Considered, Totenberg stood by her story. Totenberg's story merits a clarification, but not a correction. After talking to Totenberg and reading all the justice's statements, I believe her reporting was solid, but her word choice was misleading. In describing the justice's mask habits, Totenberg's story said that prior to the holiday break, only Sotomayor was wearing a mask. When the court resumed this year, all the justices were masked except Gorsuch, and Sotomayor was conspicuously not in her chair. Here is the key assertion from the story. Quote, the situation had changed, and according to court sources, Sotomayor did not feel safe in close proximity to people who were unmasked. Chief Justice John Roberts, understanding that, in some form or other, asked the justices to mask up. Later on Tuesday, she changed the word asked to suggested, saying so Chief Justice John Roberts, understanding that, in some form or other, suggested that the other justices mask up. Exactly how did Roberts, in some form, ask or suggest that his colleagues cover up? Totenberg told me she hedged on this. Quote, if I knew exactly how he communicated this, I would say it. Instead, I said, in some form. That phrasing, says NPR, is at the core of the dispute. Totenberg says she has multiple solid sources familiar with the inner workings of the court who told her that Roberts conveyed something to his fellow justices about Sotomayor's concerns in the face of Omicron. Totenberg said her NPR editors were aware of who the sources were and stood by the reporting. Totenberg and her editors should have chosen a word other than asked, and she should have been clear about how she knew there was a subtle pressure to wear masks and what she didn't know. Totenberg and other Supreme Court watchers know that executive messages are conveyed with subtlety and diplomacy, not by clear edict. Adding that small detail along with more information about her sourcing and a more accurate verb would have provided a fuller picture. In the absence of a clarification, NPR risks losing credibility with audience members who see the plainly worded statement from Roberts and are forced to go back to NPR's story and reconcile the nuances of the verb asked when, in fact, it's not a nuanced word. Also, if they'd used a nuanced word like suggested, that would have changed the, well, actually, no, it wouldn't have, because presumably they would release the same statement. Further confusing things, Sotomayor and Gorsuch issued a joint statement. Reporting that Justice Sotomayor asked Gorsuch to wear a mask surprised us. It is false. While we may sometimes disagree about the law, we are warm colleagues and friends. Totenberg's story never claimed Sotomayor directly asked Gorsuch to wear a mask, but Roberts' statement directly refuted NPR's reporting. Quote, I did not request a Justice Gorsuch or any other justice to wear a mask on the bench, he said. The disconnect between the story and Chief Justice Roberts' statement is concerning to many NPR listeners and readers who wrote to us. No one has challenged the broader focus of Totenberg's original story, says NPR, which asserts that the justices in general are not getting along well. The controversy over the anecdotal lead, which was intended to be illustrative, has overwhelmed the uncontested premise of the story. Okay, so, in other words, the broader narrative is true, but this story is false, but we're standing by the story because if she had just said suggested instead of asked, it would have been fine. Oh, okay. Or maybe you guys are just not good at this. Maybe you're just not good at this. And meanwhile, thanks to Democrats, homicide rates are now soaring nationwide, and even the Washington Post has to report it. Quote, for a decade, Atif Mar mentored young people, preaching the virtues of anti-violence, even as the streets of his North St. Louis neighborhood echoed over more often with the crack of gunfire. Then, one day last October, those bullets tore a jagged hole in Mar's own family. His daughter Isis was dropping off a friend when a gunman unloaded on her car. The soccer standout who'd been saving money to pay her way through nursing school was 19. I always feared it, Mar said. I never imagined it. Isis's death filled him with hurt. The reaction from the community, however, gave him hope. The past 2 years have been dreadful for public safety in the United States, as homicide numbers soared, in some cases, to record levels. Experts, this is my favorite thing in journalism, is when they quote experts. Experts is just a person with a degree from a university who you agree with. That is what experts mean. Experts say a constellation of factors is to blame, including the pandemic's scars, and a breakdown in trust between police and the communities they serve during the social unrest of 2020. I noticed one thing you are missing there, which is you told the cops not to police crime and you stopped putting people in jail. That would be the big one right there. As 2022 kicks off, city leaders from coast to coast say the stars may be aligning in a very different way. Flush with federal pandemic relief funds, mayors are pumping money into crime prevention programs. Police chiefs are using advanced data to target places and people for intervention, even as they attempt to mend badly strained neighborhood ties. And communities like Mars, tired of burying their own, are rising up against those most responsible for the deaths. People have said enough is enough, said Mar, and they are ready to fight back. Of course, ample challenges remain, including a flood of illegal guns, police departments stretched thin by attrition, and a pandemic that continues to defy predictions of its demise. But evidence that the pendulum could be swinging toward safer streets is already visible in cities like Boston, Charlotte, and Dallas, all of which recorded significant reductions in homicide last year, according to their police departments. Well, I mean, the answer here is that many of these cities have decided to actually police crime again, because if they don't police crime, then people shove each other in front of subways in New York or stab each other in furniture stores in Los Angeles. Bottom line is this. Crime is a very simple issue. More cops, more putting bad people in jail, less crime. End of story. That's the whole thing. But the left can never acknowledge this. So instead, we have to pretend that it's very, very complex and that it's all about police-community relations and that it's all about the pandemic. It isn't. When you get rid of the underlying reason that crime declines, namely the presence of the police, bad stuff happens. Even Democrats are starting to be mugged by reality at this point. Hopefully they'll be mugged by reality sufficiently so that they actually start protecting their own cities. Alrighty, we've reached the end of the show for this week. But have yourself a great weekend, because we will be back here on Monday to recapitulate everything going on. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. U.S. and Russian diplomats have agreed to keep talking in the standoff over Ukraine, though their talks Friday produced no movement in the crisis. Moscow has massed tens of thousands of troops at the border, and the West continues to ramp up supplies of weapons to Ukraine. In the meantime, United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres says he's hoping the talks will work.
I strongly hope that de-escalation and dialogue will allow for a solution, avoiding the kind of confrontation that would have inevitably terrible consequences.
A New York City police officer has been shot and killed, another gravely wounded Friday night. That after responding to a domestic disturbance call, a suspect was also killed. Also at townhall.com, thousands of pro-lifers have rallied in Washington with a growing sense of momentum about the prospects this year of a sweeping rollback of Roe v. Wade. The court is considering a Mississippi case and could overturn the landmark 1973 ruling. March for Life President Jeannie Mancini.
We are hoping and praying that this year, 2022, will bring a historic change for life.
New Jersey Congressman Chris Smith.
We are here to say equality begins in the womb, and the injustice of abortion need not be forever.
Three new U.S. studies offer even more evidence that COVID vaccines are standing up to the Omicron variant, especially, doctors say, now that more people who have gotten the booster shots. Studies were done in Germany, South Africa, and the U.K. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino, and believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For a free quote, call 800-523-3771. That's 800-523-3771. 800-523-3771. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
More major changes coming up in the world of technology. Amid the global shortage of microprocessors, Intel building a new computer chip facility. Correspondent Shelley Adler has more on that story.
Intel will invest $20 billion in a new computer chip facility in Ohio that should be up and running by the end of 2025. These microprocessors are used in everything from phones to cars to video games. After years of heavy reliance on Asia for the production of the chips, vulnerability to shortages was exposed in the U.S. and Europe as both began to emerge economically from the pandemic. The U.S. share of the worldwide chip manufacturing market was 37% in 1990. That's dropped to 12%, according to the Semiconductor Industry Association. I'm Shelley Adler.
Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Netflix, with yet another quarter of disappointing subscriber growth last year. That story from correspondent John Scott.
It's a trend that management foresees continuing into the new year,
as tougher competition is undercutting the video streaming leader. The company added 8.3 million worldwide subscribers during the October-December period, about 200,000 fewer than management had forecast. Netflix predicted subscriber growth well below analysts' estimates for the first 3 months of this year, too. John Scott reporting.
Two more celebrity deaths. Comedian Louis Anderson has died at the age of 66, or rather 68. A family spokesman said he'd been hospitalized recently with a type of non-Hodgkin lymphoma. And rock and roll superstar Meatloaf is dead. He was born Marvin Lee Adday. He is dead at the age of 74. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Al Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Hey, and welcome. This is The Ben Shapiro Show. The Ben Shapiro Show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Protect your online privacy today at expressvpn.com/Ben. Joe Biden's numbers are just terrible. They are in the toilet. 1 year in, this president has failed. He has completely and comprehensively failed. The good news is that he is sending out Hallmark Valentine's Day cards on his Twitter. He hopes that this will help recast him in a new light for the American public. So here is the president of the United States today on Twitter. Here's what he said, and I think we need a little bit of romantic music for this. Here we go.
1 year ago, he started to write an American story of hope, not fear, of unity, not division, of light, not darkness. An American story of decency and dignity, of love and healing, of greatness and of goodness. May this be the story that continues to guide us, Florida and Zijim.
Oh, romantic. Romantic stuff from the President of the United States. Actually, 1 year ago, you had a 54 to 56% approval rating, and now you are in the low 30s, according to a multiplicity of polls. There's a poll out today that is the most important poll, which is how many people actually wish to see Joe Biden run for re-election in 2024? The answer, 28% of Americans are like, I would love to see that guy run for re-election. 28% of Americans, that is Joe Biden and his immediate family, and Hunter Biden's illegitimate child. Those are the people who want Joe Biden to run for re-election, and I don't even know if Hunter Biden's illegitimate child feels that way. Right now, according to the Associated Press, more Americans disapprove than approve of how Biden is handling his job as president, 56% to 43%. As of now, just 28% of Americans say they want Joe Biden to run for re-election in 2024, including only 48% of Democrats, less than half of Democrats, want the incumbent Democratic president who just won a supposed landslide victory over Donald Trump to run for re-election. You know how bad that is? Those numbers are abysmal. In July, 59% of Americans said they approved of Biden's job performance. That is a 16-point drop. His approval rating dipped to 50% by late September because of Afghanistan, and then it just kept on dropping. I mean, the numbers look like the guy at the end of Dr. Strangelove riding the bomb into the ground. That's what the trajectory of these numbers look like. His approval rating among Democrats went from 97% at the beginning of his tenure to 76% today. Okay, he has lost 21% among Democrats, which is insane. He went from 61% among independents to 43%. Among independents. He went from 23% among Republicans to 9% among Republicans. I mean, these are terrible, terrible numbers. And as for Joe Biden's contention in his Hallmark Valentine's Day card that he's
bringing unity, battle is over.
Only 16% of Americans think Biden's presidency has made the country more united. 43% think it's more divided. Well, ironically, he has united the country against him. Everybody thinks that he sucks at this. When 84% of Americans agree that Joe Biden's presidency has not made the country more united, that's a pretty solid level of agreement, actually. Only 28% of Americans say they have a great deal of confidence in Biden to effectively manage the White House. That is down from 44% who said that 1 year ago. Some 33% said that they have some confidence. 38% said, nah, no confidence at all. And his numbers within demographics, key demographic groups, just terrible. According to a brand new NBC poll, they say 44% is his approval rating among registered voters. That sounds high to me, but okay. Here is the problem. Here are his numbers among various demographic groups. He is at 36% with independents. He's at 64% with black voters. To be down to 64% approval rating among black voters is insane. That is down 19% from April. Among young voters, 18 to 34, right? This is the demographic that is going to change the future. They're all going to love Joe Biden. 18 to 34 voters, only 40% of them say they like Joe Biden. 40%. Among Hispanics, the number is 48%. So a minority of Hispanics like Joe Biden. Even among women, which is the best demographic group for Joe Biden, or one of the best, he's only at 51%. These numbers are viciously brutal. They're just terrible. Now, I assume that what Joe Biden is doing now is he's trying to shore up black support. He's trying to shore up the female support and the young support. It ain't working. It just isn't. And right now, they are cruising for a record bruising come November. I think there is every opportunity for the Republicans to pick up about 40 seats in the House, leaving them with a 252-seat majority in the House of Representatives, which would be a historically large majority for the Republicans in the House of Representatives one election after Joe Biden swept through and took with him Congress as well as the Senate. And this is what Karl Rove is saying in the Wall Street Journal today. He says, the more Joe Biden pushed for transformational change while holding a razor-thin House margin and a 50-50 Senate, the more negative public opinion grew. The president's job approval fell from 56% approve to 36% disapprove at the start of his presidency to 41% approve, 53% disapprove, now in the Real Clear Politics average. This happened in part because he hasn't focused on problems that ordinary Americans face. Instead, he wanted a smorgasbord of new welfare benefits and Build Back Better, few of which would help voters worried that prices were growing at the grocery store and gas pump much faster than their paychecks. And here's the thing, Biden keeps doubling down. So in that horrifying press conference the other day, I think the worst press conference I've ever seen. In that press conference, where a barely sentient elderly gentleman babbled nonsensically while handing Ukraine to the Russians, in the middle of that, he was asked about rejiggering his presidency. What can he do in terms of comms? And his answer was that he was going to go talk with presidential historians. This was his problem in the first place. Apparently, he had a meeting early on in his administration with a guy named John Meacham. John Meacham is this presidential historian, the self-appointed conscience of the historian community, which he is not, but he has appointed himself thus. And he's the guy who told Joe Biden that he could be FDR or LBJ. And Joe Biden's solution is to go back to John Meacham. By the way, Meacham was supposedly one of the authors on that terrible speech that Biden just gave down in Georgia. That kind of put the capstone on his crappy presidency so far, where he called all of his opponents vicious racists and then tried to lecture reporters on how they didn't understand English for quoting him. So Joe Biden is in very, very, very serious trouble. And here's the thing. I think that serious political trouble is something that attends many presidents from time to time. The problem for Joe Biden is it has now become systemic. This is a systemic problem within the Democratic Party because the entire Democratic Party agenda is the problem. It is not how Joe Biden presents to the world. Joe Biden presents kind of the same way he always has, as a doofus. He doesn't present particularly as a nefarious force in America. He doesn't present as somebody who's innately vicious and cruel and mean. I think he has that edge, but a lot of people don't. The problem for Joe Biden is that his agenda is just unpopular, and Democrats have bought into the agenda. And what's worse, They've made a cardinal error here, and that is they've created a brand new interest group, and that brand new interest group is parents. This is the thing. The Republicans, for the first time since probably about 2004, are grasping that cultural issues matter to the American people. Trump got this on sort of an innate level. He knew where the energy was. He didn't talk about tax cuts and tariffs. Instead, he talked about the racial essentialism being pushed by the Democrats. He talked about crime. He talked about all of these sort of social issues that affected Americans on a day-to-day level. And he won because of that. Well, Republicans have picked up on this, and Democrats are just steering directly into the I would say they were steering into the skid, except they shouldn't, right? They're actually steering away from the skid, and so now they are in a tailspin. We'll get to more of this in just a moment, but first a word from our partners at Noble Gold.
Now, the stock market's at a record high, again. Things are looking up. Houses are selling in a week. Interest rates are still crazy low. And to top it all off, the government borrowed, printed $5 trillion in new money. You might have noticed that all of this doesn't add up. It's like those plates spinning on top of those sticks. When they stop, it all comes crashing down, right? You need to keep your cash safe, not crashing down. Using precious metals is a well-proven way to do this. In a gold or silver IRA 401k rollover, you even get tax breaks while you bum-proof your money. To find out how you can do this, you need to talk to one of Noble Gold's representatives. They're patient and knowledgeable and can help you navigate the precious metals market. This month, Noble Gold is giving away a free America the Beautiful solid silver 5-ounce coin with any qualifying IRA that you start. Call 877-646-5347 now to find out more, or visit our website at noblegoldinvestments.com.
Investing involves risk. Past performance is no guarantee of future results.
Alrighty, coming up, the Democrats have violated a cardinal rule of politics. They've created a brand new, huge interest group aligned against them. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
When it comes to best breakfast, you know Black Bear Diner is the place to be. But have you considered feeding your dinner bear there? Nothing says comfort like slow-cooked pot roast, house-made meatloaf, or a tender, breaded chicken fried steak. These dinners will take you back to the best home cooking comfort you know. Served daily at Black Bear Diner at 2605 Hilltop Drive.
Black Bear Diner.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
When it comes to best breakfast, you know Black Bear Diner is the place to be. But have you considered feeding your dinner bear there? Nothing says comfort like slow-cooked pot roast, house-made meatloaf, or a tender, breaded chicken fried steak. These dinners will take you back to the best home cooking comfort you know. Served daily at Black Bear Diner at 2605 Hilltop Drive.
Black Bear Diner.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, the Democrats have now created a brand new interest group aligned against them, parents. Parents have never really been an interest group in American politics. In 2004, Republicans came kind of close over the issues of same-sex marriage and national security, right? There were the security moms. But those issues realistically speaking, we're not, I think, as big as the Democrats have now made the parenting issue, because Democrats have basically declared their allegiance to a progressive left that believes that your children do not belong to you. And so whenever Democrats now say that they are acting on behalf of the children, it sounds a lot like you're acting on behalf of my children against me. And my answer to that is no. You don't know my kids. You don't care about my kids. I don't think Nancy Pelosi gives a damn about my children. I know that that is pretty much all I think about 24 hours a day. And I'm the one up in the middle of the night trying to figure out how to make their lives better, not Nancy Pelosi. But when Democrats say they're trying to make your kids' life better, what they really mean is they are trying to service particular constituencies, and they are going to try to mold children in order to do so. So here's Nancy Pelosi talking up her agenda with regard to the kids yesterday.
My whole mission in Congress is about the children, for the children. As you heard me say, you're in the arena. You have to be prepared to take a punch. You have to be prepared to throw a punch for the children, for the children.
Nothing says for the children quite like the Democratic agenda, which is kill babies before they're born. After they're born, tell them that they can be members of the opposite sex and teach them that racial essentialism is a key factor in American life. Nothing says for the children quite like that. Now, the reality is that for progressive left movements, the idea of perfecting humanity in pursuit of utopia has always been a part of the scheme. If you go all the way back to Rousseau, the idea of educating children in a particular fashion so as to achieve some sort of communal end, this has been a large part of every left-wing movement since the inception of left-wing movements. And philosophically speaking, it goes all the way back to Plato. I mean, if you actually read The Republic, Plato talks about taking kids away from their parents and then indoctrinating them in particular values so that they will be better citizens of the polis. So anybody who has utopian visions has to use children as malleable weapons in that fight. But in order to do that in a traditional country that has institutions like parenting and church and local communities, in order to do that, you have to separate kids from their parents. And this is what you're seeing in the battle over education. So there's a clip that was floating around online yesterday from Melissa Harris Perry, who used to have a show on MSNBC. This is from about 2013, but it does sum up what so many progressives think of children. Now, ironically, the demographic group, politically speaking, least likely to have children of their own are progressives. The conservatives have lots and lots of kids. Progressives have very, very few children and a dog. But they think that they should be able to indoctrinate children because children are the collective's property. Children are how you mold the future. So here's a, again, this is from years ago, but it is indicative of a mindset that has now taken deep root inside the Democratic Party, if it didn't already have deep root. Here's Melissa Harris Perry, circa 2013.
We have never invested as much in public education as we should have, because we've always had kind of a private notion of children. Your kid is yours and totally your responsibility. We haven't had a very collective notion of these are our children. So part of it is we have to break through our kind of private idea that kids belong to their parents or kids belong to their families and recognize that kids belong to whole communities. Once it's everybody's responsibility and not just the households, then we start making better investments.
Lean forward. Okay, so what the left says is that they want to help out children by providing them more resources. What they mean is that they would like to remove your ability to control how your child is educated and the values that you teach your kid. You're seeing this in Canada right now with this lying bill. I mean, they call it an anti-conversion therapy bill. It is not an anti-conversion therapy bill. It is an anti-reason, anti-religion bill in Canada. It essentially suggests that if you are a parent who does not want to teach your kid that they can switch sex, or if you're a parent who wants to teach your kid about traditional sexual morality and the belief that, for example, heterosexual activity is more valuable community-wise and more valuable morally than homosexual activity, if you want to teach your kid that, this makes you a vicious, brutal bigot. And the government should either fine or remove your child, right? They should fine you or put you in jail for this sort of thing. I mean, that is law now in Canada. Okay, that is what the left would like. When it comes to sexual indoctrination of children, I mean, this obviously is happening in public schools in places like California, New Jersey, New York. This idea that you have to indoctrinate small children into the lies of gender theory so as to twist the brains of small kids and make them emissaries of your theory. That's the end goal right there, is to make the kids the actual weapons on your own behalf. It's not good for a kid to be gender confused, but it's good for the gender confused to gender confuse kids. Because if you can convince kids that they are naturally gender confused, then you can make them activists on behalf of a movement. So, for example, there's a clip that was racing around the internet last night. It's from Quebec. So Quebec has basically come to lockdown central in the West. It's like Quebec and Australia. And this is from Quebec TV. And it features children ratting out the unvaccinated and being cheered for it on TV. It says, you, are you vaccinated? Yes, we both have one dose. Are you in favor of mandatory vaccine? Yes, yes.
Wow.
It looks like I drove him. What should we do with the people who don't want the vaccine, she asked. We should call the police. Ooh, yes, yes. If they don't have a vaccine, it can make a lot of people in danger. So like what the government does right now, we should cut everything from them. Little by little, until they submit and get vaccinated. Applause. So it looks like we've got some future politician here. And people giving big claps from the weird guy in the small glasses and the giant mustache and the odd man bun. I mean, the use of children as weapons on behalf of the state and on behalf of a statist perception of how people should live is key for the left. Now, do they actually care about the kids? Of course not. Okay, the entire effort to mask children, the international effort to mask children, is entirely rootless. There is no data, none, suggesting that masking children has in any way affected the course of COVID. Children were the demographic group least affected by COVID. And yet they were the demographic group most attacked by the people at the top levels of government. I mean, right now in Britain, you have people who've been going to soccer games for months at this point without masks. But all the children in school were supposed to mask. Down here in Florida, we still have schools that are masking kids for no reason at all. No one's masked down here. We still have schools that are masking kids. Okay, it's insane. There's a clip that was floating around yesterday from GB News. It's Great Britain News. And it is of a young woman who it looks like just may have graduated high school recently, talking about the effect on kids of forcing them to wear masks and how the COVID insanity has affected kids. Because these folks don't care about kids. They just want to control them so that you can't. And the effect on kids, of course, is grave. When you teach kids gender confusion, the effect on them is grave and terrifying. When you teach kids racial essentialism, the effect on them is grave and terrifying. And when you forcibly mandate masks upon small children for no apparent reason, the effect is grave and terrifying. Because it ain't about the kids. It's about using the kids as weapons. Here is this this young woman from GB News.
It literally ruined our lives. And nobody spoke about it at all. And the commentators, they had union reps come on and say, this is what the school should have put in place. And they didn't care about what this did to us. And this is the first time I've ever spoken about it on TV because I knew that I'd cry about it. But I literally watched and felt like my entire life was falling apart because of what this government did to young people. And nobody cares. Not one person has cared about children in this pandemic. They think, oh, let's throw... Why are we putting masks on them when people can go to football stadiums and they can go to theatres and play Nadeem Zahawi sitting there at the teaching awards with no masks and yet we're disrespecting kids? This pandemic will finish. The damage this has done for us is forever.
100%. She is 100% right, but no one cared about the kids. You were protecting the kids by forcing them out of school and then by forcing them to mask to go back to school and by having Randy Weingarten run things here in the United States. Now, again, this is a cult. Right? There's a guy named Vinay Prasad who writes for Tablet, among other places. He's a hematologist, oncologist, and associate professor of epidemiology and biostatistics at the University of California, San Francisco. He has a piece today titled The Cult of Masked School Children. He says, as we enter the third year of the pandemic, every child age 5 and up is eligible to receive a COVID vaccine in the United States. Oddly, this development has been accompanied by increased pressure on kids to wear masks in school. Some private schools have gone beyond cloth masking and now mandated N95 or equivalent masks for children as young as 4. The Berkeley Unified School District in California recently began transitioning students to N95 level masking. This isn't a matter of protecting children, their teachers, or their grandparents. It's delusional, dangerous, cult-like behavior. He says, let's start with cloth masks, which have been the most common type of facial covering used to cover kids' faces in school. In the only cluster randomized trial conducted during the pandemic among adults, cloth masking failed to improve the primary outcome of COVID cases that were confirmed with a blood test. The United States is uniquely aggressive in masking young kids. Contrary to scientific evidence, the CDC and the American Academy of Pediatrics advise that kids as young as 2 should wear masks. Europe has always been more relaxed on this issue, and the WHO advises against masks for kids under 6 and only selectively for kids under 11. Now, let's consider N95 or equivalent masks designed to filter a high percentage of particles. To achieve this goal, N95 masks require a snug fit and validation. Notably, there are no approved N95s for kids, because these masks have not been subject to validation for young people. All masks sold with this moniker are merely N95-style masks, thought to be equivalent, possibly. What is the goal of masking policy? Does it at least help to slow the infection? Pre-vaccine, it made sense to try to delay infection until people could be vaccinated, but Omicron infects everybody. How about the effects of long COVID, says Vinay Prasad. He says, the best data we have suggests between 0 and 2% of kids infected will experience symptoms beyond any control measures. The larger point is that if infection is inevitable, If it's just a matter of time, considerations of long COVID are moot no matter how we reach the destination. We'll have to help children who develop long COVID. That's true, whether we make them wear masks or face shields or hold their breath every time they go indoors. And yet we have continued down this path because, again, it is not about saving the children. It is about using the children. Now, you say that you're endangering kids if you don't force everybody to mask, or if you don't force everybody to vaccinate, or if you don't indoctrinate kids in gender theory, if you don't indoctrinate them in the insanity of anti-racist garbage from Ibram X. Kendi. Kids are not things that ought to be protected, according to the left. They are tools to be used for the creation of a brand new future. Alrighty, coming up, the Democratic agenda to indoctrinate children and control them. It continues apace. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts, Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
Hey, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Each year, millions of older adults suffers injuries from a fall. One out of five falls results in serious injuries such as broken bone, head injuries, or death. Many falls are preventable. PSA 2 Area Agency on Aging announces the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program, funded by the California Department of Aging. This no-cost program's mission is to reduce the number of debilitating falls suffered at home by older adults and persons with disabilities. If you are 60 and older, or persons with disabilities of any age that meet the income criteria and are at risk of falling or being institutionalized, this program may be able to help. The Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program was established for the purpose of reducing the number of debilitating falls suffered by older adults and persons with disabilities, thus enabling older adults and persons with disabilities to live independently and safely in their home environment for as long as possible. Contact PSA 2 Area Agency on Aging at 842-1687. That's 842-1687 to find out how this no-cost program may help.
This is the Cigar of the Month from Tobacco and Brew, brought to you by Liga Privada. The Underground Sun Grown is the perfect balance of Nicaraguan long filler tobacco. Draped in a lovely Connecticut sun-grown wrapper, this stick received a 92 rating. With hints of spice, wood, and espresso, this robust cigar ends on notes of cinnamon. Come down to the best cigar shop around, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Redding with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts, Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
Hey, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe, or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
You get me every time.
Stand up to cancer.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, the Democrats have made their agenda clear. They wish to control children in every respect. Alrighty, so, the agenda to indoctrinate children continues apace. When it comes to masking, the idea is that allowing children to go to school unmasked is some form of cruelty to kids. There's a piece by Teresa Vargas, writing for the Washington Post today. Teresa Vargas, who is a local columnist for the Washington Post, she says, in catering to selfish parents, Youngkin is failing Virginia's kids. In catering to selfish parents, you see, the parents are the selfish ones. The great and good expositors of masking for all, they're the ones who care about the kids, but people's own parents don't care about them. The hilarious, ridiculous, insane, and insipid notion that parents don't care about their kids, random Joe cares about your kids more than you do, it's totally crazy. It is contrary to not only all reality, but to all decency. But here's what Teresa Vargas writes. When children test positive for COVID at my children's Virginia elementary school, parents don't normally get much information. We are left to wait and see whether we will receive an email saying that student was in close contact with our child. I received several of those emails this school year. Each has evoked in me the same quiet worry and frustration that comes with being thrust again into the unknown. Each has brought the same questions. Will my children get sick? Will my husband or I get sick? Will our kids have to stay home from school to quarantine, forcing them to miss lesson plans and us to figure out how to meet the demands of full-time jobs and childcare? But the one emotion I have never felt while reading those emails is annoyance toward the parents of the kids who tested positive. I have felt sympathy for them and concern for their families. I have felt mortified on their behalf, knowing how awful I would feel if I were in their place. How about you calm the F down, lady? Omicron ain't killing your kids. And if you're vaccinated, ain't killing you either. But you are so insane that you think that the state should mandate that everybody your kid's age is supposed to now mask. For no apparent reason, you can't provide any data to support this position. No data at all. It's a religious position. But this columnist says, the way I have looked at it is we are in this together. No, we are not when you want to control everybody around you. We're all exhausted, but we're doing our best to keep our school community safe. Then a message popped up on a Facebook page for the school community last week. It was written by a staff member. It came at the end of a particularly trying week at the school, one that saw students in seven classes forced into quarantine because at least one child in each had tested positive for COVID. One of those classes belonged to my 9-year-old son. So first of all, this is because your school is stupid. You should not be testing asymptomatic kids. Period. End of story. You're not going to slow the spread of Omicron. Omicron is going to hit everyone. You're going to get immunity one way or the other. Get over it. But, says the message, many of you were inconvenienced by the quarantine protocols enacted in your child's classroom this past week. The message read, several of those class quarantines would have been avoided if people had given their actions careful consideration before doing them. The actions of a few this week have upset many families and caused distress, as well as left our staff stunned and, frankly, a little hurt at the disregard for our community's health and well-being. So, there were three actions that had caused some disruption. Two of them, children were sent to school before their quarantine time was up. Children were sent to school while their families awaited coronavirus test results. These were concerning, but they weren't as surprising as the third result given. The paragraph read, do not withhold positive test results. All positive COVID-19 test results are reported to the Virginia Department of Health. Sending your child to school knowing they have a positive test is purposefully putting the community at risk and will also spur the quarantining of an entire classroom. I read it again before I accepted what it was saying. Parents had lied. Yeah, no, yes, they did. You know why they lied? The reason that they lied is because you have set up a completely unlivable standard. Because you have now suggested that the best thing that a parent can do is never test their kid. If these parents are smart, they're not going to test their kids. They're just going to wait until they are asymptomatic from whatever it is they have and then send them back to school, because they're not testing them for flu before they send them back to school. They're just going to wait until the kid has no symptoms and send them back, which, by the way, would be the normal way to treat disease in this country. But we have made it completely unlivable for children. We are quarantining kids for 10, 20, 30 days outside the classroom, depending on how many siblings they have or their home living situation. But the bottom line for this Washington Post columnist is she cares about your kids more than Youngkin cares about your kids. And that is why she has to control your kids. And Youngkin has to stop catering to selfish parents. It's Youngkin's fault that all of this is happening. Well, maybe it's your fault that this is happening. We'll get to more on this in just one moment. First, I don't really want big tech tracking what I do. You want big tech tracking what you do? You trust all those guys at the top of big tech who hate your guts tracking all of your internet activity? I mean, not like they would use it for nefarious purposes or anything. You can probably trust them. Or maybe if you don't trust them, you should use ExpressVPN the way I do. If you've ever wondered how free-to-access tech giants make their money, the answer is they track your searches, video history, everything you click on. They build a profile on you, and then they sell off your sensitive data. When you use the ExpressVPN app on your computer or phone, you anonymize much of your online presence by hiding your IP address. That makes your activity more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. What's more, ExpressVPN encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cybercriminals. What I like most is how easy it is to use. It takes just one click to protect all your devices, which is why ExpressVPN is rated number one by Business Insider. Revoke Big Tech's right to your data. Secure your internet with the VPN I trust for online protection. Visit expressvpn.com/Ben. That's ExpressVPN.com/Ben. Get 3 extra months for free with my exclusive link. Go to expressvpn.com/Ben right now to learn more. Okay, so in this column it says, I'm an Arlington parent. I want my children to be able to attend school again without having to wear masks. I also know it is not yet safe enough for them to do that. Really? Provide evidence. Provide evidence. How many kids have died from Omicron? Any evidence whatsoever. Please, I'm waiting. Oh, you can't provide because the evidence is irrelevant. It's not just with regard to masking kids, obviously. It's also with regard to critical race theory. Okay, so critical race theory is indeed taught in schools. There's a watered-down version of it that is Ibram X. Kendi nonsense. This is where you teach your child, a 5-6-year-old child, that they are the inevitable beneficiary of white privilege in the United States because all of the institutions of the United States were rooted in bigotry. And therefore, if you are white, you enjoy an inherent privilege under the system that black people do not enjoy. Okay, this stuff is being taught to small children. There are kindergarten materials in particular areas of the country that mirror the language of Ibram X. Kendi, who is a ridiculous figure. Ibram X. Kendi, by the way, insists that he is an expert on this stuff, despite not being able to actually define the term racism. It's a pretty infamous clip of him being asked to define racism. And he says, racism is when racist people do racist actions, which is like saying, define the word red. Red is when red things are red. Oh, thanks, Ibram. Okay, so here is Ibram X. Kendi explaining to Trevor Noah and company. Well, this is actually to his sub-host. This is Ibram X. Kendi explaining to The Daily Show why he is such an expert on race. He's such an expert, guys.
Generally, people don't believe in science, but they really don't believe in racial science. They just think I'm just up here talking. You know, just one day I just decided to start talking about race and racism, that I wasn't trained to study this, that this isn't my expertise.
It isn't. You're an idiot. He hasn't said a true thing probably his entire career. Like, I want his scientific credentials, Ibram X. Kendi. I would love to hear them. I would love nothing better than to hear his scientific credentials. Because his actual education is he got dual BS degrees in African American studies and magazine production from Florida A&M. And then he got a PhD in African American studies from Temple. Does that sound super? But he's an expert in racial science. First of all, last time people used the term racial science, it was real ugly. Because it was just racial essentialism boiled down to Nazi physiognomy. Okay, so racial science is a pretty nasty history, and maybe if you knew anything about racial history, you wouldn't use the term racial science and then defend it. But Ibram X. Kendi's an expert, and we have to boil his stuff down for the kiddies. Now, if you object to this, if you think that this is bad, and if you wish to actually see what your kids are learning in the classroom, the left has decided this is very bad because they ought to control your kids. When Terry McAuliffe said that parents should not have control over their kids, the educational establishment, the experts should have control over their kids. That's what you call a Kinsley slip. So Michael Kinsley, the columnist, he suggested that there are two types of gaffes. One are gaffes where you say something you don't mean. And the other is where you say exactly what you mean, but you say it out loud. That is what Terry McAuliffe did in Virginia, and it lost in the governor's race. Well, now, according to NBC News, as state legislatures kick into gear this month, Republican governors and lawmakers who have fought to limit discussions of race in public schools are lining up to support a new aim curriculum transparency. Lawmakers in at least 12 states have introduced legislation to require schools to post lists of all of their teaching materials online, including books, articles, and videos. The governors of Arizona, Florida, and Iowa, who have previously raised concerns about how teachers discuss racism's impact on politics and society, called for curriculum transparency laws in speeches to their legislatures this month. Florida Governor DeSantis said Florida law should provide parents with the right to review the curriculum used in their children's schools. Some conservative activists say the effort is a potent strategic move to expose and root out progressive ideas from schools. It's the next move in a fight over critical race theory, the academic concept typically taught in college courses to examine how laws and institutions perpetuate racism, and which some conservatives have used to describe ideas in books they believe are too progressive or political for the classroom. Christopher Rufo, who's done indispensable work over at the Conservative Manhattan Institute on this stuff, he said, the strategy here is to use a non-threatening liberal value, transparency, to force ideological actors to undergo public scrutiny. But teachers, their unions, and free speech advocates say the proposals would excessively scrutinize daily classwork and would lead teachers to preemptively pull potentially contentious materials to avoid drawing criticism. I love that. So you're a free speech advocate who doesn't want people to know what their kids are learning in class. I feel like you're not so free speech, are you? But according to the left, right, teachers and unions and free speech advocates, they want to be able to teach your children whatever they want to teach your children. And they don't want you to know what they're teaching your kids. Wouldn't that be suspicious? Anytime you leave your kid in a room alone with an adult, you want to know that you could walk into that room at any time and everything would be going fine, right? Complete transparency is, I mean, this is why people leave nanny cams at home. But once you delegate your kid to a classroom, you're supposed to believe that some teacher who's a member of a left-wing Randy Weingarten teacher's union, indoctrinated into leftist belief systems, ought to be trusted with everything about your kid without any level of transparency at all? According to NBC News, quoting John Friedman, director of the Free Expression and Education, PEN America, a nonprofit group promoting free speech, it's important we call this out. It's a shift toward more neutral-sounding language, but it's something that is potentially just as censorious. PEN America has said the laws amount to an educational gag order. It is no less concerned about the curriculum transparency proposals, which Friedman said are designed to generate more outrage over lessons on race and gender in school. Yes, that's correct. They are designed to generate outrage on race and gender in school because for the first time in decades, parents are actually looking at the left and realizing what their game is. And their game is to indoctrinate your kids. Their game is to pervert the minds of your children and make your kids believe stuff that is overtly untrue, bad about themselves and bad about America. That's the reality. And if you, by the way, if you're not doing that, then what are you so afraid of? What are you so afraid of? Why are you so scared that we might find out what you're teaching our children? Randy Weingarten, she said, quote, good schools and good school districts have always had curriculum transparency, including extensive two-way communication between parents and educators on what we are teaching and how to support our kids. Pretending otherwise is just the latest attempt by Chris Rufo and others to exploit the frustration of COVID to create a toxic environment where the biggest losers are the children. Nope. By the way, if you think that these schools have always been transparent, why are you objecting to laws that say they should be transparent? What exactly is the problem? The fact that the left opposes this is insane. Fully demonstrative of what the actual agenda is, which is we don't want you noticing what we are doing to your kids. Because, again, the cultural indoctrination that has taken place in the United States has done grave damage to entire generations of human beings. If you think it doesn't matter, by the way, look at the damage done to young women particularly who have been taught that the most vital thing a woman can do on this earth, because it is the most vital thing any human can do on this earth, and only women have the magic superpower, is to have kids and raise them. And yet entire generations have been indoctrinated by our culture, by our educational system, to believe that the height of womanhood is to disdain motherhood. And it's had horrifying effects. We'll get to that in just one moment. First, I'm a pretty unique guy, right? I'm truly one of a kind, which is why I sleep on a mattress designed specifically for me. And you can too. Helix Sleep. They built a quiz. It takes 2 minutes to complete. They use the answers to match your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress for you. If you like a mattress that's really soft or firm, if you sleep on your side, your back, your stomach, or if you sleep really hot with Helix, there's a specific mattress for each and everybody's unique taste. Like moi. Just go to helixsleep.com/Shapiro. They will match you to a mattress that'll give you the best sleep of your life. I sleep on a Helix mattress, but you don't need to take my word for it. Helix was rated best mattress of 2019 by both GQ and Wired magazine. Everything is made right here in America. They've got a 10-year warranty. You get to try it out for 100 nights risk-free. If you try Helix and you don't like it, they pick it up right for you, no problem. Right now, Helix is offering up to $200 off all your mattress orders. Get up to $200 off at helixsleep.com/Shapiro. Right now, again, that's helixsleep.com/Shapiro. They'll match you to a mattress that'll give you the best sleep of your life. I love my Helix Sleep mattress, personalized for me, personalized for my wife. Check them out right now, helixsleep.com/Shapiro. Get up to $200 off when you use that code, helixsleep.com/Shapiro. All right, coming up, when we talk about cultural control over children and the impact that that has intergenerationally, nowhere has this been better evidenced than in the world of feminism. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Now is a great time to prepare for this year's upcoming wildfire season. Reading Electric Utility and City of Reading staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our facilities and to the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home, clear debris from your roof and gutters, and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity of power lines, call 530-224-4356. We all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Are you not getting treatment for a work injury because of denials? Call me, Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, at 530-262-2168, and I will get you results. The insurance company and your employer have an attorney working hard for them. You need somebody fighting for you. When you call Gorman Law, you're going to speak with me, not a paralegal, because the last thing you should be worried about is whether or not your attorney is working for you. There is no cost until your case is settled. Consultations are free and confidential. Call today, 530-262-2168. That's 530-262-2168.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us 2 men, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So when we talk about the left trying to control children, trying to raise kids in a particular way, the effect is quite evident. That is particularly true when it comes to feminism. When we talk about the left and their control over kids, what we mean is that the left has had intergenerational effects through their seizing of the high points in American culture and education. And it's had a massive, terrible impact on the United States. There's a really good piece by a person named Sasha White over at Tablet Mag called "A Woman's Place is in the Rat Race." In today's miserable workforce, the career-centric promises of modern feminism are hollower and less fulfilling than ever. One of the most miserable groups of American workers is women, who face a burnout crisis and report the highest levels of workplace exhaustion and dissatisfaction, according to this columnist. A 2021 study by McKinsey & Company and LeanIn.org found that 42% of women say they feel burned out often or almost always. According to the same study, 1 in 3 women says they have considered downshifting their careers or leaving the workforce this year. Paradoxically, women in this country were promised we would finally be fulfilled and empowered if we entered the workforce. Unlike my mother and grandmother's generation, who were raised to become mothers and wives, my entire generation was taught that our careers will give us deep meaning and allow us to make a difference in the world. That promise rings hollow for several reasons. On a personal level, it creates a mentality in which the loss of one's career can lead to a devastating emotional void, and on a societal level, it has been manipulated for all sorts of damaging corporatist ends. So why is it still orthodoxy in most feminist circles that going to work equals liberation? This is exactly right, of course. And again, the simple fact of the matter is that women's happiness and satisfaction in life has declined relative to men since the 1970s. And yet, pop feminism has continued to lean into the corporate system, devaluing any life choice for women that does not center on economic prosperity. Of course, this system does not only harm women. Lower and lower middle class men today are reduced to a third tier status in today's workplaces too. America is known for its poor treatment of such workers, long hours, low wages, little time off, no mandated paid parental leave. Countrywide, only 30% of Americans report feeling engaged at work. Yet identity politics obscures that this state of affairs applies to all workers, and the advocates of careerist feminism promote the idea that men have a joyous experience in capitalism that we can also be privy to, if only we could break the glass ceiling, which of course is not true. You know, the bottom line here is that we have taught pathologies to generations of Americans. And then, in order to promote the pathology still further, you have to hijack the next generation of Americans. Because it turns out that the people who embrace the let's not have kids, let's embrace sexual hedonism, the only thing that matters is whatever floats your boat, turns out those people don't have a lot of kids. So how do you promote that agenda to the next generation? The answer is you have to seize other people's kids. And you have to stop anybody from finding out about it if you are Randy Weingarten and the teachers' unions. Okay, meanwhile, back to Joe Biden. Joe Biden has now fomented an absolute mess in Ukraine. According to the Washington Post, President Biden faced a furor on Thursday, including a highly unusual rebuke from Ukraine's president and sharp criticism from Republican members of Congress after appearing to downplay a hypothetical minor incursion by Russia into its neighbor's territory. The administration was hastily thrown into cleanup mode, reassuring allies and foes the United States would view any crossing by Russian troops into Ukraine as unacceptable aggression. This is because Joe Biden said in an open press conference that a minor incursion would be treated differently than a full-scale invasion of Ukraine, which is an insane statement. It is just the tip of foreign policy. This prompted the president of Ukraine, Zelensky, it prompted him to tweet out, "We want to remind the great powers there are no minor incursions in small nations, just as there are no minor casualties and little grief from the loss of loved ones. I say this as the president of a great power." And so that is President Vladimir Zelensky just slapping Biden direct across the face. Members of Congress were also critical, of course. Senator Ben Sasse, a Republican of Nebraska, he said the president's press conference was an absolute train wreck that will have serious consequences. President Biden basically gave Putin a green light to invade Ukraine by yammering about the supposed insignificance of a minor incursion. He projected weakness, not strength, which is, of course, absolutely 100% undeniably true. Okay, so yesterday, Joe Biden had to try to clean this up. And cleanup on aisle 9 commenced. It didn't go fantastically well.
I've been absolutely clear with President Putin. He has no misunderstanding. If any assembled Russian units move across the Ukrainian border, that is an invasion. But it will be met with severe and coordinated economic response that I've discussed in detail with our allies, as well as laid out very clearly for President Putin. But there is no doubt, let there be no doubt at all, that if Putin makes this choice, Russia will pay a heavy price.
Yeah, by heavy price, he just means more sanctions that many of our European allies won't even join us in. Right, but Biden said that himself in the press conference. He said NATO is divided, which is exactly what Putin wants to hear. If NATO is divided, there isn't a unified response. So he said NATO is divided over what happens if they just go and take the Donetsk region, for example. And that's exactly what he wasn't supposed to be saying. According to the Washington Post, quote, "For weeks, top U.S. officials have been emphasizing that Washington is fully united with its European allies about how to respond to Russia. But Biden said that was not entirely the case in all circumstances, suggesting that Russian action short of an invasion could cause a divide among allies about how to forcefully respond. Many officials conceded Biden was probably accurately portraying real divisions that could emerge within NATO, but Europe and U.S. leaders have been at pains to emphasize their unity, not their differences." Biden said in that press conference, quote, "There are differences in NATO as to what countries are willing to do, depending on what happens, that agree to which we have to go." And of course, Vladimir Putin just sits in the background chuckling heavily. Jen Psaki tried to clean this up as well. She says, don't worry. Our allies know what Biden was saying. Yeah, they know. That's why they're tweeting out that they think that he just handed the place over to Vladimir Putin.
I can assure you that Our allies and partners know exactly what the president's position is. They knew what it was yesterday. They knew during the press conference. They knew after the press conference, because we have been engaged closely and working in lockstep with them for weeks on the rising military incursion or threat posed by Russia. So they know exactly where they stand. They always have, and they certainly do today.
Thank you for that massively failed cleanup. This president is a failure on every level, and here's the thing. Again, the underlying agenda is bad. It's a very, very bad and nefarious agenda, and that's what Americans are responding to. They're not responding to Joe Biden's lack of rhetorical flourish. They're responding to the fact that he has been telling the truth, and so has his party. The mask is off. Maybe the story of American politics since 2016 is that all the masks are off. All the veils have been removed, and we're seeing for the first time the full ugliness of what everybody seems to think about everything, and the American people are looking direct in the face of the dictatorial mandates from the Biden administration and their viewpoint on how children ought to be raised and their viewpoint on foreign policy. And they're saying, we don't like any of this. And they are running screaming the other way. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. Federal judge blocking President Biden's mask mandate for government employees. Here's Bernie Bennett with that story.
A U.S. judge in Texas has issued a nationwide injunction barring the federal government from enforcing President Biden's requirement that federal workers without qualifying medical or religious exemptions be vaccinated for COVID-19. Judge Jeffrey Brown ruled that opponents of President Biden's vaccination mandate for federal employees were likely to succeed at trial and blocked the government from enforcing the requirement. Brown was appointed to the District Court for the Southern District of Texas by then-President Donald Trump. Bernie Bennett in Washington.
The Justice Department says it will appeal the judge's ruling. U.S. and Russian diplomats have agreed to keep talking in the standoff over Ukraine, though their meeting Friday produced no new movement. Secretary of State Antony Blinken and Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov met for 90 minutes in Geneva at what the Americans said was a, quote, critical moment. Also at townhall.com, pro-lifers gathering at the nation's capital for the 49th March for Life, held on the anniversary of the 1973 Supreme Court decision of Roe v. Wade.
Roe is not settled law.
March for Life President Jeannie Mancini.
We are hoping and praying that this year, 2022, will bring a historic change for life.
The rally took place after the Supreme Court indicated it will allow states to impose tighter restrictions on abortion with a ruling in the coming months, and it may possibly overturn the landmark 1973 Roe versus Wade ruling that affirmed the constitutional right to an abortion. I'm Shelley Adler.
And more on these stories at townhall.com.
This view was worth a hike.
Right? And it's a good way to stay on top of my health.
Yes, I'm Cologuard, a prescription colon cancer screening option for people 45 plus at average risk. Have you screened for colon cancer?
Not yet.
Don't wait. It's more treatable when caught in early stages.
Tell me more.
Cologuard is non-invasive and it's used at home. It detects altered DNA in your stool to find 92% of colon cancers.
92%?
Yep, even those in early stages.
This was seen in a clinical study with patients 50 and older. Any positive results should be followed by a diagnostic colonoscopy. False positive and negative results may occur. Cologuard is not a replacement for colonoscopy in high-risk patients. Do not use if you have had adenomas, have inflammatory bowel disease and certain hereditary syndromes, or a personal or family history of colon cancer.
Most insured patients pay $0. Ask your provider or an online prescriber if Cologuard is right for you, or visit Cologuard.com.
I'm in.
Correspondent Tim McGuire says the governor of California promises a statewide effort to catch the thieves who have been raiding cargo trains in Los Angeles.
Governor Gavin Newsom was with a work crew cleaning up trash left behind by organized looters stealing electronics and other expensive consumer goods from trains. He tells KABC that the thieves open the boxes, take the items, toss the boxes in the rail yard, and then sell the stolen goods online.
Ended up on some online platform at a remarkably discounted price. Ever ask yourself how?
Newsom says 280 people have been arrested so far. Union Pacific Railroad, in a letter last month to the Los Angeles County District Attorney, asked for more aggressive prosecutions of cargo thieves and an end to the no-bail policy, which allows many of the theft suspects to be back in less than 24 hours. I'm Tim McGuire.
Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Researchers say early treatment can tame peanut allergies, at least in some kids.
In a study published Thursday, researchers report young children might be able to overcome peanut allergies if treated at an early enough age. In the journal Lancet, researchers detailed a study in which peanut protein powder was given to 146 children in the U.S., ages 1 to 3, in increasing amounts to build up their tolerance for peanuts. After 2.5 years, nearly three-quarters of the subjects could tolerate the equivalent of 16 peanuts without an allergic reaction. 6 months after treatment stopped, one-fifth of the subjects still had the same tolerance. The researchers say the approach seemed to work best in the youngest children and those with milder allergies. I'm Mike Rossia.
More heavy losses on Wall Street Friday. The Dow was off 450 points, NASDAQ down 385. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed, a new show on Sundays, 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
A year ago, Biden pledged to address COVID, the economy, climate change, and racial injustice. And good news, after 12 months of tireless effort, we're all getting 3 free masks.
Wow, I tell you, when I've lost Jimmy Fallon, I've lost America. That's Joe Biden's bad news story. Hey, the Washington Post has the same story today that Jimmy Fallon was doing last night. 4 historic crises all at the same time. A perfect storm. It's a two-page centerfold in today's Washington Post about how poor Joe Biden is really up against it. Donald Trump was not. Everything was his fault, and he was a very bad man because he's orange. Joe Biden, who is, what color is Joe Biden, do you think? Kind of talc? Is that a color? He might be in your crayon box. He's not orange, but, a cadaverous. Is that a color in your Crayola box? That's right, the Washington Post with 2 full pages, pages 8 and 9, 4 historic crises just listed there by... And then they take them on one at a time, and why he's doing a great job. And what are the 4 perfect, the perfect storm of 4 crises all at the same time? Number 1, the worst pandemic in over 100 years. In over 100 years. President Trump didn't have that, though, only Biden. Number two, the worst economic crisis since the Great Depression. Yay, the Great Depression. And we have that as our benchmark always and forever, I hope. The worst economic crisis. But President Trump didn't have that because, you know, they're Wuhan. Number three, the most compelling call for racial justice since the 60s. I assume they mean the 1960s and not the 1860s because, you know, that's the Democrats. They started the Civil War in 1861 and all that stuff. And what with their Confederacy and all of that. And number four, here it is. And the undeniable realities and accelerating threats of, what is it, Michael, what is it? Climate change. That's right, climate change. We could use a little climate change in Washington today. It's about 18 degrees out there. A little global warming would be welcome right about now. Also, yesterday, the city, you know, we shut down school systems and things yesterday because of the big snowstorm that was coming. And I didn't see a single flake of snow. Michael, did you see a single flake of snow? I didn't see a single flake of snow. Did you see one? Not one. Nothing, not a thing. Didn't see anything. Yeah, so two-page center spread for Joe Biden after 1 year in office. What has Biden done about the four crises he pledged to address? He pledged to address the weather, you know, the climate. He was going to fix the climate. And then the party of the Klan and the Confederacy and Jim Crow, they were going to fix the problem of race in America. They have. They've addressed it. They've made it much worse. They've created a much greater division and all of that good stuff because, you know, that's their history. That's what they do. At least they took down the statue of Teddy Roosevelt in front of the museum in New York because, you know, they're very sensitive to these things. And they had to find one Republican statue or painting to take down in the name of addressing, what is it now, the greatest right, compelling call for racial justice. That's what they're calling for racial justice. You know, I'm telling you, because George Floyd, you know, who had methamphetamine and fentanyl in his system and reefer, you know, pot, and he was passing a counterfeit bill, and he's got an arrest record longer than Charles Manson's. But pay no attention to that, because he's the hero of the revolution. He's the hero of the revolution. So we got that going. That's on the inside of the Washington Post today. On the outside of the Washington Post today, Biden's speech elicits uproar. This is actually their lead story. Biden's speech elicits uproar. Allies unnerved by remarks on Ukraine. Yeah, the Ukrainian president wasn't too amused by the remarks either. A scramble to emphasize nation's sovereignty ensues. This is it ensued. After Joe Biden stepped out. You know, yesterday everybody's using the, you know, clean up on aisle this, clean up on aisle that line yesterday because they keep assuring us that what Joe Biden said was really smart and really clever and it was good and it's true. So don't worry about any of that. But they're all out there. Ron Klain, even the White House chief of staff, some say the real president of the United States. They say if you go into the Oval Office, it's Ron Klain's family pictures behind the desk in the Oval Office. And that's why Joe Biden uses the TV studio in the building next door. That's supposed to look like the White House, but he leaves the White House, which is a weird habit that he's invented over there. Pretty amazing stuff. Yeah, but the Ukraine thing has been quite a debacle. And now we're all standing by. I understand that down at the White House, they showed up early this morning, and they're in there rolling their little knuckles on their little desks, waiting for Putin to do something manly that will freak them out. Because they don't know what to do because they're hapless and feckless. And they have this sock puppet living in the White House and going to the Oval Office every day or close to every day. They also have a front page story, surprise, surprise, on January 6th. There's a front page story on January 6th because it's the only riot that ever was. You know? One riot, 700 arrests, 700 riots, one arrest. It's the arrangement that the Democrats have reached, apparently with the FBI, not a noble organization anymore, sad to say. But it is here it is on the front page. In push to marshal Trump electors, comma, some balked. And the Giuliani-led effort, see, they want to jail their political enemies like a third-world country because they're essentially a third-world country. You go inside the paper to page 5. January 6th panel seeks testimony from Ivanka Trump about her father's actions. These are show trials, the likes of which we haven't seen since the Soviet Union fell. And we didn't see them here in the United States. It is we saw them in the Soviet Union. These guys are very, very Soviet. Speaking of which, an amazing poll that came out several days ago, but I didn't see it until yesterday, about Democrats and how authoritarian they are. I'll leave the word fascist out of it for the moment, but how authoritarian they are. They're incredibly authoritarian. They're the left, you know. They're not liberals. I keep having to remind people of this, I think, but they're not liberals. They're the left, and nobody's more illiberal than the left. They're the most murderous, blood-drenched gang of barbarians that the world has ever seen for the last 100 years. The left, you know, that's the left. Now, in the United States, they've been able to, it's like the boiling frog thing, they've been able to incrementally move the Americans that call themselves liberals left and left and left, tick, tick, tick. And then they started galloping, you know, with the AOC and the squad and all these lunatics with shaved heads and bandoleros and things, you know, the Democrat Party. They should show up on horseback with rifles, these people, they're insane. But there's this poll, a Rasmussen poll, and they asked people questions, as you might during the course of a poll. And the things that the Democrats said about COVID and mandates are really right out of Chairman Mao's Cultural Revolution. It's an extraordinary thing. I'm going to share that with you because it is disturbing, very disturbing. Also, the paper today is full of race, because they love, you know, racial division. They're the left. It's how they win elections is by way of racial division. You know, the party of Jefferson Davis and George Wallace and Sheriff Bull Connor. Who else did Joe Biden cite the other day? Cited a list of Democrats. Don't want to be like them. You are like them. You're one of them. But never mind that. Also on the front page, grassroots grievance drives parents' school board purges from Bay Area liberals to Texas conservatives. Activism is skyrocketing. How dare you skyrocket with activism? And this is a story about how, you know, and it started because we started paying attention. Normal people, you know, middle America started paying attention a couple of years ago to what's going on in schools and school boards. Virginia became the pot that boiled over. And now it's going on across the country because people, Americans have been awakened, normal people, families that just send their kids to school not knowing that they're being brainwashed and indoctrinated by radicals and extremists. You know, people are waking up and the teachers' unions and the, you know, the school boards run by, who are these people? Where did they find them? Their issues vary, but activist parents are reshaping school boards across U.S. Of course, the Washington Post disapproves. They're not writing of it approvingly. They're writing of it disapprovingly. But that's their bag. Also, Mitch McConnell, their lead editorial cartoon, and they've got all kinds of race stories. The anti-black backlash with no end in sight by Perry Bacon Jr. in the Washington Post today. There's an anti-black backlash with no end in sight going on. You guys really need to smell yourselves. You honestly do. And your party, because your party are the party of racial division and of, you know, destroying the black family and education and the school-to-prison pipeline. That's your party. You know, Joe Biden with his doesn't want his kids going to school in a racial jungle. The Richard Russell Senate office building. You know, do something about that, then get back to me, Perry Bacon Jr. But Mitch McConnell yesterday said something like, you know, black people vote just as much as Americans. And the news media has pounced on this. The only editorial cartoon in the Washington Post today, they have Mitch McConnell on a psychiatrist's couch with what appears to be Dr. Sigmund Freud sitting next to him in a chair with a notepad. And it says, McConnell says black people vote just as much as, quote, Americans, end quote. Because they don't use the whole McConnell quote because it doesn't serve their propagandistic purposes. And then Sigmund Freud, the Sigmund Freud figure says, he says, for it to be a Freudian slip, in quotation marks, it would have to have been an accident. See, that's it. Now, apparently, and we'll get to this coming up, apparently what Mitch McConnell said that, you know, black people vote at the same rate as other Americans. But his phrasing may have been inartful, which is okay if you're Kamala Harris or Joe Biden. But if you're a Republican, you know, then they burn your house down and threaten your children's lives because that's their thing. Enslavers in Congress.
another, that's one of their letters to the editor about one of their stories in Slavers in Congress. They love talking about slavery. You know, they're the party of slavery, and bullwhips and lynching, the Democrat Party is. And, you know, they're anti-women voting and effectively carried that off for decades, too. But they've been able to erase their own history because of information dominance, you know, in the media, in popular culture, in academia. So they've airbrushed themselves out of it. It's kind of their own story has been erased because now they've got a new version of it for you. Also, the Ukraine and Putin thing, and honestly, everybody's kind of standing by. Got the Olympics coming up in communist China. One of the stories here, the Beijing Olympics are an exercise in genocide denial. Genocide denial. I was speaking with LeBron James is back in the news with Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden and LeBron James and communist China and business deals in the same story today. Looking forward to that one. That's good. But they've also got Putin knows the odds are in his favor. The Washington Post, because, you know, Putin knows the odds are in his favor because Biden's in the White House, and they've got Antony Blinken as the Secretary of State, who honestly should be standing on a street corner near a school with a stop sign, waving cars through here and there, because that guy is, you know, he's about as aggressive. I have pairs of socks that are more aggressive than Antony Blinken. But, you know, we don't need that now. That's not important now. Anything like that. So we got lots and lots of great stuff for you. And Joe Biden is just such a piece of work. And he says things. You see him attack the woman reporter yesterday, say that's a stupid question to a Fox News reporter. Fortunately for him, it was a Fox News reporter. And fortunately for him, he's a Democrat. Because President Trump said to a CNN reporter one time, that's a stupid question. Exact same words. I compare them. He said, that's a stupid question. And to Abby, what's her name, at CNN, and that generated 1,000 stories about what a terrible man President Trump was because he said, that's a stupid question, to a female reporter. That was the whole story. Of course, he said things like that to male reporters all day, every day, too, but those went uncommented on, unnoticed. And now Joe Biden tells a female reporter from Fox News, that's a stupid question. Not a problem, because you're, you know, you're a Democrat. And the media, they're fluffers for the Democrat Party. They're from the steno pool down at the DNC. They're stenographers. Now, a couple of conservative sites picked up the Joe Biden snapping at the female reporter. But the entirety of the fake, phony, baloney mainstream news media. And we do, as I said, have Hunter Biden's story. The slavery Olympics. Have you heard what the journalists are doing going to cover the Olympics? This is a new one, thanks to communism. And, you know, the media jumping on Mitch McConnell. We got Robert Reich. He's now in a little hot water because, you know, we got to this. An update on transgender athletes. A good story in the Washington Examiner today. Chicago. Chicago. They're threatening to loot again. The lynch mob is back, and they're threatening to burn and loot the city again. You know, the left is the Democrats. Amazing. New M&Ms, more politically correct than old M&Ms. Crime, mayhem, pandemonium. You know, Democrats are in charge. We are at 888-630-9625.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
Thinking about those credit cards you're using over the holidays? Thinking about the interest rates they charge? Lower your interest rate and save with a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream. LightStream's credit card consolidation loans have rates from as low as 4.98% APR. With auto pay and your excellent credit, get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000. There are no fees, and you can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. Just for my listeners, apply now and get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/plant. LightStream.com/PLANTE. Subject to credit approval, rates range from 4.98% APR to 19.99% APR and include a 0.5% auto pay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/plant for more information.
Do you have taxiety? That uncertain feeling before doing your taxes? Filing on your own or choosing the wrong partner can be stressful. Connect with Liberty Tax and then just breathe in and cash out.
Pay no out-of-pocket expenses.
Sounds like a mantra.
Visit StopTaxiety.com to schedule your appointment and say farewell to the stress of tax season. Liberty Tax. Let's end taxiety. At participating locations, terms and conditions apply. See store for details.
Did you know that doctors use Mucinex? That's right. Mucinex is the number one OTC brand doctors trust for themselves and their families. When you have cough and chest congestion, you need a medicine that's effective and long-lasting. So with cold and flu season upon us, why would you use anything else? Mucinex 12-hour DM extended-release bilayer tablets allow for immediate and extended release, relieving cough and chest congestion for 12 hours. Grab Mucinex and put yourself back in control. Use as directed.
On our first date, we had masks on and kept 6 feet apart. Now, we're a lot closer.
Just like Cliff and Deb, thousands of singles over 50 found their perfect match on Silver Singles last year.
I feel like I'm 20 years old again, and I'm pretty sure she feels the same way.
Rediscover the magic of dating with Silver Singles, the exclusive community for singles over 50. Sign up today and receive daily matches you won't want to miss at silversingles.com/radio. silversingles.com/radio.
Look, staying healthy isn't easy. Watching your diet, hitting the gym, avoiding stress. But a good night's rest helps boost your overall health and wellness. And it couldn't be easier. The Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed effortlessly adjusts and responds to both of you. The result? You wake up ready for anything. Proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. Don't miss our weekend special. Save $1,000 on the Sleep Number 360 Special Edition Smart Bed, plus special financing. Ends Monday. Special financing subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store for details.
The IRS, the world's most aggressive collection agency. They can seize your property, bank account, and garnish your wages. They cause sleepless nights for millions of Americans. Don't be one of them. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, get protected today. Call 800-312-9970. Coast One Tax Group, protecting your bank, home, and your sleep since 2008. With hundreds of five-star reviews and an A-plus on the Better Business Bureau. Call Coast One Tax Group, 800-312-9970. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-312-9970.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Right now, people are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue, and Dynabite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynabite commercial so many times that I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynabite, the being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24/7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
Dinovite.com.
A mob of criminal Democrats on a looting spree in downtown Washington last night at a fancy kind of development called City Center, where rich people buy condos. Police responded 900 block of Palmer Alley around 7.03 p.m. You know, don't want to be out too late. Got kids at home and everything. For a report of multiple individuals entering an establishment, it's a nice high-end store, unlawfully taking property. That's called looting. And here's video of it, of the looters. And one of the looters had pepper spray and sprayed the security guard in the face And now we've reached the point in the United States of America where people mock this sort of thing because it's kind of all you can do in an effort to hang on to your sanity. And a tweeter after watching the video said she had some mace or something that she aimed at the security guard. And the tweeter wrote, "I have it on very good authority that things like mace and bear spray are very dangerous weapons. In fact, they're dangerous enough to topple a government." See, they're mocking. And then, they're wearing masks because they're criminals. And, yes, they were wearing masks, someone tweets, but not KN95 masks. Something must be done about such reckless behavior. Hopefully they were at least fully vaccinated and boosted, you see. And so we make fun of this stuff now. This is where we are. Because Democrats, and they're all Democrats doing the looting actually. Alright, let's see, I don't have a lot of time, but let's go real quick to Brian in Potomac, Maryland. Brian in Potomac, Maryland, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, Chris, thanks so much for taking my call.
Hey,
just real quick, I just want to remind everyone, I know it's been a whole 7 days, and it's exhausting, but actually last Friday was Biden's quote-unquote last most horrible, no good, lousy week ever. And with bad polls, the inflation report, the GOP and Sinema and Manchin to Bull Connor and Jefferson Davis, and then the SCOTUS shot down the vax mandates. This week, he doubled down and did that god-awful presser and then invited Russia to invade the Ukraine, more bad polls, and his election theft bill died on the Senate floor.
So. Wow. Beautifully, wonderfully summed up. So you think this week might actually be worse for him than last week, which is worst, most terrible children's book of an awful week ever. I think you could be onto something there, Brian.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to an North State with no more homeless pets.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter of 2021 and 22. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already, we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Yes. Pretty crazy town we have here, and our media. You know, who is it? We have Senator Chuck Grassley was on the television this morning talking about our beloved and respected, our revered news media, the most corrupt institution in the United States of America. Honestly, it's like, yeah, well, they're a Democrat party, but it's they're one and the same. You know, you couldn't pull them apart with a crowbar. Black lawmakers fire back at Mitch McConnell. We are American. This is, you know, they love their good at pound. This is what information dominance does. It allows you to create false narratives and perpetuate them by banging the same drum all day, every day, year after year. You know, Russian collusion, all a lie. Black people can't vote because they don't have photo IDs. That's actually the Democrat Party's position. And of course, you know, looting stores is reparations, because that's a, that's the thing. And Washington D.C. looting last night, a mob of people. I think reparations might be reparations involved. Pepper sprayed the security guard, but pay no attention to that. That's no big deal, because you know they're just they're Democrats, and that makes it okay. I think the security guard is a person of color, POC, as Democrats like to say, but they don't really care about that. It's not a thing. Know what I'm saying? All right, so let me get to that that Mitch McConnell. We're going to get to Joe Biden and his Russia thing, because he's doing such a such a good job as president, isn't he? In the meantime, let's go to the telephones. Let's take another call. Let's go to Angela. Is that Angela? Let's go to Angela calling from Montclair in Virginia. Angela, hey. You're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, Chris. How are
hey,
you?
Hey. I'm great. How are you?
I'm well. You know, I listened to that press conference with Mitch McConnell yesterday. He said African Americans vote just as much as Americans. He never said blacks vote as much as Americans. They didn't want to say what he said because African Americans, you already know that he's talking about black people in America. So they didn't want to, they just lie. And then the whole narrative about black people and voting and this whole Voting Rights Act, it should have been called the Right to Cheat Act, because that's what it's really about. And shame on black leadership, Democrat leadership, for allowing black people's backs to be used to cheat in elections, because that's what it's really all about. Everybody knows that black people can vote in America. Everybody knows you don't stand in the voting line for 7 or 8 hours. And then if people do, what makes black people less able to do that than anyone else? It's all a lie. It's all a stinking lie. And, if IDs is such an issue, then why aren't black people exempt from showing IDs for getting COVID shots and COVID, tests? It's all a stinking lie. I'm almost tempted to go to the airport and claim I don't need to show an ID because I'm a victim class or however they word it, but I'm just tired of it all. It's so stupid.
Well, did you see a number of thoughts occur to me, Angela? One is that did you see that the Biden administration has made it okay for the Transportation Security Administration or agency, the TSA, when illegal aliens from our southern border are traveling around the country, and they may not have IDs because of the, you know, criminal records and things that they may have and their deportation records, they can use arrest warrants. I'm not making this up. They can use, this is
oh,
the Biden
wow.
people have made, they can use their arrest warrants and their notice to appear in court as legitimate forms of ID to board airplanes in the United States of America, okay? Also, what occurs to me, Angela, is that in D.C., our mayor, who is an African-American woman, imposed these mandates that if you're going to go to a restaurant, you have to show, and lots of other businesses, you have to show your vaccination card, all right? You have to show your papers. Your papers are, Ross. You know, there's spotlights in the air and dogs barking and an air raid siren in the background. Show your IDs, your papers. And, of course, who are the most unvaccinated people in the United States and the most unvaccinated in Washington, D.C., but African-Americans, right?
That's exactly right, Chris. I'm not vaccinated, and I won't say which doctor said not to get vaccinated. He said to wait 3 years because they haven't followed the right protocols to push this vaccine the way that they have now. My husband's vaccinated, and he's fine, but I'm just holding out for a couple more years because I'm not anti-vax. I'm hesitant, as they call it. So,
well,
you know,
I remember
pretty hesitant.
I remember because the Tuskegee Airmen were experimented on. Now, that's what Joe Biden said, and Hispanics are afraid they'll be vaccinated and deported. That's why Hispanics are not getting. This is what Joe Biden said. You remember? Joe Biden said the reason black people are the least vaccinated among us is because the Tuskegee Airmen are used to being experimented on.
There's a reason why it's been harder to get African Americans initially to get vaccinated, because they're used to being experimented on.
That's right.
Tuskegee Airmen and others.
That's right, the Tuskegee Airmen and others.
People have memories.
Yeah, not him, but other people.
Well, with that being the truth, Chris, with the whole Tuskegee Airmen, and I know that we live in a society that is that we don't live in a racist society. So, as far as I'm concerned, everyone should be concerned about being experimented on. I'm just going by, because this doctor that told me this is very famous. So, if I said his name, everybody would know who he is. But I asked him, I'm like, are you vaccinated, sir? He was like, no, and don't do it for another 3 years. He said,
wow.
I said, but my husband was vaccinated, and, you know, he's a cancer survivor. He said, that's all the more reason why I shouldn't have gotten it. So, you know, there's a lot of people saying a lot of different things. But anyway, back to this whole Democrat lying, cheating, stinking lying, cheating Democrats. And you're right, they're leftists. They're a bunch of leftists, and I am so tired of black people being played and being used. Everything they want to push forward, they wrap it in black skin and dare anyone to say anything about it. And it's obvious to those of us who pay attention. I'm just disappointed in a lot of black people that I know, And I'm definitely just cannot stand the so-called black leadership. Those people are disgusting. They're all about power. They're all about control. And black people, black leftists or Democrats are letting themselves be used to push push an agenda that's not good for any of us. So thank you, Chris, for letting me vent.
Thank you for letting me vent, Chris.
I appreciate it.
You bet. Angela, thank you. Thank you for the call. Yeah, as I said, the Washington Post, their only editorial cartoon, they have one a day. McConnell on a psychiatrist's couch talking to Sigmund Freud, and it says, McConnell says black people vote just as much as, quote, Americans, end quote. You have that audio, Michael? Of Mitch McConnell? Let's play that since we're talking about it now. Let's play this audio of Mitch McConnell yesterday and what he actually said.
What's your message for voters of color who are concerned that without the John L. Lewis Voting Rights Act, they're not going to be able to vote in the midterm?
Well, the concern is misplaced because if you look at the statistics, African-American voters are voting in just as high a percentage as Americans. A recent survey, 94% of Americans thought it was easy to vote. This is not a problem.
Yeah, 94% of Americans thought it's easy to vote. So what he actually said is he said, if you look at the statistics, African-American voters are voting in just as high a percentage as Americans, right? That's what he said. Now, ho, 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 oh, what a racist! You know, the party of Lincoln and emancipation of the 13th and 14th Amendments, as opposed to the party of the Klan and the Confederacy. But what he said, he's a lifelong politician. He mentioned the statistics. And he's thinking about the statistics. If you look at one column, Americans, and what percentage do Americans vote? And then because Democrats like to slice and dice everything by race because they're racist, then the next column is African Americans. Then, of course, Hispanics. Then, you know, probably LGBTQQIAA /trans/something. Because they like to balkanize us along every imaginable line. But what Mitch McConnell was saying, and if he were just a Democrat, the media would clean this up immediately. African-American voters just as high percentage as Americans, as what he should have said, other Americans or all Americans. But if you think in terms of statistics and how these things are lined up, did he misspeak? If it were me, I probably would have added one word, just as high a percentage as all Americans or other Americans. But he said Americans, so it's an opportunity for the Democrats, and that means the media, to pounce and call everybody racist because they're the party of lynching black people from trees. And, you know, they love to, I guess they're overcompensating or something generations later. But, you know, make no mistake, they're harvesting the organs of 40% of the black population, and they think that's really great. Jake Tapper, also he's a former Democrat Party Capitol Hill staffer. And he thought this was just the bee's knees. This was the greatest thing ever.
In point of fact, I don't think it's accurate to say that African-American voters are voting in as high a percentage as white Americans. But what people took umbrage at
is
that he said African-American voters are voting in just as high a percentage as Americans.
Ah, you zoomed in on that. You figured that. Yeah, that's because he didn't say white Americans. He said as Americans overall, and that would include African-Americans and Hispanic and Asian and Aleuts and Aborigines, and that would be all Americans. They vote in just as high a percentage. That means that they have a normal voting percentage. And, by the way, 95% of people, Jake Tapper is not going to talk about that, in America, believe that it's easy to vote. 5% don't know what day of the week it is. You know, you remember Joe Biden, you know, if you're not voting for me, you ain't black. Remember that? You ain't black. And you remember Joe Biden, gonna put y'all back in chains. Remember that? He's the guy who didn't want his kids going to school in a racial jungle. That's Joe Biden. Pretty amazing stuff. Jake Tapper. See, he didn't, again, if you're looking at Americans as a whole and what the voting percentage is, and then you look at white Americans, then look at black Americans, then look at Hispanic Americans, because that's what Democrats like to do. What Mitch McConnell's saying is, you look at African Americans vote in the same percentages as everybody else. That's what he said. Now, did he leave out a word? Sure. And is it an opening for Jake Tapper, former Democrat Party Hill staffer? He worked for a member of Congress that whose son married Chelsea Clinton, and whose husband went to prison for being corrupt. Jake Tapper.
Is that revealing, as critics of McConnell say, of a mindset where white Americans are Americans and African Americans are African Americans.
Yeah. Remember when Hillary Clinton said she only carries hot sauce all the time? It's the only thing she carries. You guys are pimps, and I'd like to apologize to pimps everywhere because I think a lot of pimps probably have a great deal more integrity than the American news media. But there it is. That's our media.
Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids.
That's right. See, there you go. And did the media jump on that? Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids. Because those are the two categories of people, poor kids and white kids.
Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids.
That's right. Yeah.
Wealthy kids, black kids.
Wealthy
Asian
kids, black kids.
No, I really
Asian
mean it,
kids.
But think how we think about it.
No, I really mean it, but think about it. You think about it and get back to us, okay? You should send them into Ukraine, you dimwit. This guy is really something, isn't he? That's Joe Biden, but this is what they do. Yeah, you ain't black if you don't vote for me. You ain't black. I think that was Charlemagne the misspelled God that he said that to.
But and you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, then you ain't black.
That's right, you ain't black. But that's okay. Jake Tapper thought, yeah, that's right, then you ain't black. That's Jake Tapper. They like to broken English. Remember, Hillary Clinton with "I ain't by no ways tired." Adopting a black dialect because she was addressing a black office, black audience. And you remember she would adopt a southern accent when she "I ain't no Tammy Wynette." When you're a Democrat, the news media are a gang of free fluffers. They're not journalists at all. You know, which actually might bring me to the you don't have the Chuck Grassley. That's right. We don't have that because we're having technical difficulties today. But Chuck Grassley addressed the news media this morning on the television. These are remarkable times. Racial division is their game. It's what they do. All right, let's go back to the phones, Michael. Let's go to Nabil calling from Northwest Arkansas. Nabil, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Morning, Chris.
Hey, Nabil.
You stole my thunder. Yeah, you
Uh-oh,
stole my
I'm
thunder
sorry.
Here.
Well,
That's
tell
all right.
Me, tell me.
I want to remind you, back in the mid-90s, Bill Clinton, President Bill Clinton, said something almost exactly the same as what Mitch McConnell said on black entertainment television. And this was highlighted on Rush Limbaugh's TV show. And the media refused to even talk about it at all.
This is a... it's a classic case, what's her name? Kamala Harris has had gaffes much larger than this in the last 48 hours. And the news media smooths them over. For Joe Biden has said some of the most, you remember Nabil when he said of Barack Obama, he said he's the first mainstream black guy to come along who's articulate and bright and clean. That was Joe Biden. Then he became president of the United States. Yeah, but Nabil, Bill Clinton,
okay.
I'm going to go, that's okay, that's fine. It's the first clean black guy to come along, the first articulate, the first black guy to come along who's bright. That is what Joe Biden said about Barack Obama. And then he was chosen to be his vice president. So what do you think about this, Nabil? Is it just Democrats and the media, what we should expect?
Yeah, that's what we should expect, and we should bury them both.
Nabil from Northwest Arkansas. Thanks, buddy. Good to hear your voice. Lots of Joe Biden coming up. Russia, Ukraine, madness, media, corruption. We live in a very corrupt city. Maybe should we arrange a looting party for later on in D.C.? What do you think? Seems to be okay now.
What's something that you always carry with you?
Hot sauce.
Hot sauce.
Really?
Yes.
Now, listen, I just want you to know people are going to see this and say, okay, she's pandering to black people.
Okay. Is it working?
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Thinking of hiring in the new year? Then think Indeed. The moment you sponsor a post, you receive a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your job description. Then simply invite them to apply. Get started at Indeed.com/credit.
On our first date, we had masks on and kept 6 feet apart. Now, we're a lot closer.
Just like Cliff and Deb, thousands of singles over 50 found their perfect match on Silver Singles last year.
I feel like I'm 20 years old again, and I'm pretty sure she feels the same way.
Rediscover the magic of dating with Silver Singles, the exclusive community for singles over 50.
Sign up today and receive daily matches you won't want to miss at silversingles.com/radio. Silversingles.com/radio.
Did you know that doctors use Mucinex? That's right. Mucinex is the number one OTC brand doctors trust for themselves and their families. When you have cough and chest congestion, you need a medicine that's effective and long-lasting. So with cold and flu season upon us, why would you use anything else? Mucinex 12-hour DM extended-release bilayer tablets allow for immediate and extended release, relieving cough and chest congestion for 12 hours. Grab Mucinex and put yourself back in control. Use as directed.
Ever have questions about your prescriptions, even in the middle of the night? Well, Walgreens now offers Pharmacy Chat 24/7, so you can ask an expert about things like the correct dosage of your medications or possible side effects. Speaking of side effects, the side effect of getting your questions answered at 2 a.m., sleeping much easier for the next 6 hours. Try Pharmacy Chat today or tonight, online or on the Walgreens app.
The new year is a great time to bring on new hires. Check out Indeed, the hiring platform that helps you find the people you need fast. Schedule virtual interviews and talk to candidates right from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Right now, people are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue, and Dynabite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynabite commercial so many times, so I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynabite, the being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24/7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
DinoVite.com.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Watching TaxSlayer calculate your refund feels like climbing to the apex of a roller coaster.
Here we go!
And flying down the track. At maximum refund speed. File for free with TaxSlayer Simply Free and get your guaranteed maximum refund. TaxSlayer. File fearlessly.
Romney wants to let he said in the first 100 days, he's going to let the big banks once again write their own rules. Unchain Wall Street. They're going to put you all back in chains.
That's right. Joe Biden to a black audience. Speaking of Mitt Romney, who the other day he just described as a good and decent man or something. Going to put y'all back in chains. But you're the one that put him in chains. We're the ones that took the chains away. But never mind that. There's a Democrat congressman from, from New Jersey, Mondaire Jones. His name is Mondaire Jones. He's from New York. And he likes playing the race. He's a black guy. His name's Mondaire Jones. And yesterday's like, oh, that's the voting bill was so important to the world that it's the end of our democracy. Here's a Democrat, pathological liar, probably a psychopath. His name is Mondaire Jones.
We are living through the worst assault on the right to vote since the Jim Crow era.
Democrat.
And yesterday, on the Senate floor, white nationalists used the Jim Crow filibuster to block voting rights legislation.
That's right.
But they did not win the contest for the soul of our nation.
Yeah, Jim Crow are all Democrat laws, and you're a Democrat, and now you're, pimping for the Jim Crow people themselves. And the worst era assault on the right to vote, there is no assault on the right. It's a pure fiction, absolute fiction. Congresswoman Cori Bush is similarly situated in that, she's mentally unstable and... where do they find these people and how do they get them elected to Congress? Cori Bush.
The United States Senate failed to advance legislation that would protect our fundamental and constitutional right to vote. And for what? Because of fear. White fear.
That's right. It's fear. It's white fear. You know how fearful the white people are about everything, don't you? Just amazing. I don't think, do we have time to get to Joy Reid? Joy Reid. Sorry? No, we don't. No. No, because Joy Reid, she's a racist on MSDNC, and she's got a history of homophobia, too. She diminished and disparaged Secretary Pete. And Biden coming up.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.